Good morning. It's 9:02, March 28, 2012. I'd like to call to order the Dallas City Council voting agenda for this morning. Thank you all for being here. I would like to introduce Pastor James Parker, JPI training. It is my pleasure to introduce Pastor Parker. He's a motivational speaker whose dynamic workshops and training seminars have influenced thousands of people across the world. Thank you, Pastor Parker, for being here to give our invocation, and Ms. Medrano will lead us in the pledge following that. Thank you.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come in the precious name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, with a heart's desire to see you more clearly, to love you more dearly, and to follow you more nearly. Father, my heart's prayer request for this council is that they are wise enough to seek you, spiritual enough to hear from you, and mature enough to obey you. Help us in a season, Father, when we've had so much conflict and so much war, that we would learn to solve our conflicts with collaboration and not escalation. Father, help us to turn to each other and not on each other, and realize as a city and as a nation, you have truly blessed Dallas, Texas, and it's time for us to bless you. We ask this prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Good morning. We have a special guest this morning that I want to introduce to the public and the City Council. The Council General of the Netherlands is here visiting us, and Mr. Gert Wieter is here, and I would like to introduce Mr. Wieter, bring him to the podium. Thank you for being here. And we want to continue our trade with the Netherlands, and I appreciate you spending the time in visiting the City Council.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor. My name is Geert Wieter. I am the Consul of the Netherlands. My jurisdiction is Texas, Arkansas, and Oklahoma. I'm pleased to mention to you that the Netherlands is providing almost 75,000 jobs to the state of Texas. The trade between the state of Texas and the Netherlands was last year $11.2 billion from Texas to the Netherlands, and from the Netherlands to Texas it was $7.6 billion. Texas is the most important state for the Netherlands. And now I'd like to introduce the Deputy Consul General from Miami.
Mr. Mayor, thank you very much for this opportunity. It's really a great honor to be here. My name is Steve Vandenberg. I'm the Deputy Consul General in Miami, and from our office in Miami we cover a vast amount of American states, among that Texas. I'm traveling around with Geert Wieter, who is our consul in Europe, covering Texas and Arkansas and Oklahoma. And what we're actually doing is trying to find as many business opportunities for my country as we can. So that's actually why we're here, and we're greatly thankful that we can present ourselves here to you this morning. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to invite you to speak to the Consul of Corps by the end of this year. Thank you very much for coming.
I would be honored to, and just to remind you, the Dallas-Fort Worth area is the fourth largest area in the United States, behind New York, L.A., Chicago, and then Dallas-Fort Worth, and we're the fastest growing, so please tell everybody back home to come visit.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. City manager?
Oh.
Hi, there she is. Ms. Soom, I think you have a brief announcement. Is that all right? Is it with you?
Yes, please. We are recognizing our customer service efforts during this month, and one of the methodologies that we use is we had a program of walk a mile in our shoes, and the various ACMs and I changed jobs with people. Joey got to clean the pool out front, and I did the entrance to the parking garage, and various ones of us did various jobs. And then some of our folks wrote essays on customer service, did really nice essays, and were selected by a team to follow and shadow the ACMs and me for a day. And I want to tell you about those folks today. They're some of our really exceptional employees, and today Bob Curry from Code will be with Joey. Reginald Collins from SDC will be with Ryan. Annabelle Eames from Human Resources will be with Jean. Sushil Methi will be with Forrest from Aviation. Johnny Moreno from Fire with AC. Michael Kinnemer from Trinity Water Management with Jill. And Emily Harmon from EBS with me. And so congratulations on being chosen for your essay, and we hope you enjoy being with us. We're going to enjoy sharing our experiences with these employees. So thank you.
Thank you. It was great. The rumor was that you worked in the parking garage to make sure everyone showed up and worked on time.
Yes. And some of the folks who were a little late were surprised to see me. Like, what? It was fun. It's a complicated job checking everybody's right tag, and there's a bunch of different tags, and being sure everybody's in the right spot and where you tell them to go visitors. So yeah, and I got a little mixed up sometimes. So.
Thank you. It's a great program, Mr. Caraway.
Mayor, thank you. And just if I could, council and colleagues, to have one moment of personal privilege to simply make an official acknowledgement to the efforts and to the tragic of that's going on in Florida. If we could just for 10 seconds have just a moment to just acknowledge Trayvon, which is being acknowledged across the country, the loss of his life. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Mr. Caraway. Ms. Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Colleagues, I think many of you are aware of this, but over the weekend we lost a great advocate for our city, an amazing volunteer and a good man, Dr. Bill Peterson, who served as my plant commissioner for District 14 for the last several years. He was such a pleasure to work with. He was a professor of biochemistry at UT Southwestern. He was brilliant, but he wasn't one of these guys who was condescending or tough to work with because he was so brilliant. He was just Bill. And he worked hard with neighborhoods and with developers and with his fellow colleagues on the CPC. So he will be missed. He is survived by his wife, PJ, and children and grandchildren. And we wish them well, wish them the best, and we're all fortunate to have known Bill. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Hunt. Thank you for that acknowledgement. We will move to our open microphone speakers. Ms. Rios.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We didn't have one cancellation this morning. Scheduled to speak are Valerie Hall, Eddie Morgan, DeMarcus Offord, Emily Fowler, and Larry Mitchell. I will first recite the speaker guidelines. Citizens and other visitors attending the meeting of the City Council shall observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any persons making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks or who become boisterous while addressing the City Council or while attending the City Council meeting shall be removed from the room if the Sergeant at Arms is so directed by the presiding officer, and the person shall be barred from further audience before the City Council during that session of the City Council. Individuals are allowed 3 minutes to speak. You'll notice the timer on at the podium. Please address your comments to Mayor Rawlings, and when your time is up, please allow the next individual their turn. Again, your first speaker is Valerie Hall. Not present. Eddie Morgan. Mr. Morgan will be followed by DeMarcus Offord, Emily Fowler, Larry Mitchell, and Richard Sousa.
My name is Eddie Morgan, 2343 Vegas, Dallas, Texas, 75219. Do you think this bonded package is going to pass when the citizens of Dallas find out that in 2008, the city has sold leases to two companies, XTO Energy and Trinity East, both of whom want to frack in Dallas. XTO paid $14.7 million and Trinity East paid $19 million for a total of $33 million. The city of Dallas has spent every cent, although where the money went is unclear. If we had not paid $170 million for a bridge to nowhere, we would have more money for the budget. Thank you.
Thank you.
Your next speaker is DeMarcus Alford.
I believe Council, what did she finish? She's passing out some Facebook. I mean, this is from your PAC group, one of your PAC group co-chairmen, Mr. Mike Melton. And what Council, what you're receiving is the slanders and comments, biased comments from Mayor Rollins, who's co-chairman, Mayor J.K. Dallas. And I want you to take a look at it. Mayor, I don't feel like it's right for you to use the word of your office to endorse any school board candidate. To raise money for them, it's unacceptable. And it's shame on you, Mayor. It's shame on you for getting involved in school board politics to use your way of office. As a 20-year-old citizen of South Dallas, I have four schools closed in a one-mile radius of my neighborhood. Four. Wheatley, H.S. Thompson, Pearl C. Anderson, Julius C. Frazier, Councilman Atkins. How would you feel if the school closed in your community? Mayor Carraway, Councilman Hill, how would you feel if your parents didn't have a way to take you to school? If your parents didn't have transportation to pick you up if you were sick at school or get to you at school? This is ridiculous. And I just want to take a look at these biased and slanderous comments made by the parents, as he said, our PAC group. And I also would like to request that the email sent from the mayor's office to the PAC group regarding the candidates, the endorsement of the candidates, just for the record, my councilman, Ms. Davis, and we can receive those records as well. And I just want to, Mayor, if you can get the attorney to explain to me the ethics code that you violated, can I receive that information? Okay, or can you give me any reason why you got involved about it and come to me and ask me, explain to me anything, my views on the District of Dallas ISD? Man to man. And as a citizen of Dallas, you represent all people, not certain people. And I don't think it was right as a citizen of Dallas for you to get involved and to use your way as office to endorse a candidate. So could you explain to me your action, your reasons for getting involved and not coming to me or asking me or my thoughts or point of views of the district? So, Ms. Davis, my council member, I would like to ask that any emails that were sent from the mayor's office to the PAC group, Educate Dallas, you know, we can receive that information, and also a copy of the ethics code that the mayor violated. Because I think it's unacceptable. And I think as a citizen, I have the right to know. So I just want to take a look at those emails and those biased comments that was spread by Mayor Rollins' PAC group, co-chairman Mike Melton. Just take a look at those comments. And you say you're for our youth. And you're spearheading the mayor's interim program. So you're telling me I can't be successful. And it's showing it read the comments. Read the comments. Take a look at the comments. This is ridiculous. Thank you.
Thank you. Just for the record, I hope you got the invitation to come to my office and meet with me, because I asked Ms. Davis to set that up. So I apologize if you didn't get that, because I did want to talk to you. Thank you.
Yes. Mayor DeMarcus he did get that invitation.
Great. Thank you.
And he will be meeting with you.
Great.
And so you guys can talk man to man.
Great.
Young man to older gentleman.
Great.
Okay.
Love it. Love it. Thank you, Ms. Davis. Next.
Your next speaker is Emily Fowler. Mr. Fowler will be followed by Larry Mitchell, Richard Sosa.
I'm having a little trouble hearing you. I had an injury in Vietnam. But I'm wearing a hearing aid, and I don't like to wear it. It makes me look older. Okay? But I I noticed something I wanted to explain. Dwayne, we've been working together. Most of Scott doing a great job. Thank you for listening. And Mayor, I saw what you did yesterday. But it's election time. We know how that goes. So I want to let you know this. I've been reading something every day. I notice we only have 3 minutes, but y'all get all day. We the people. But we hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equally, endowed by their Creator, with unalienable rights, life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. So I've been studying that. And I didn't know that before I came back from Vietnam. But I'm learning what that means. I have a certain rights. And Scott, especially you, because this is my neighborhood. I go to town, I've noticed the crime has increased in my neighborhood. We don't have no infrastructure. I spoke at the commissioner of the court the other day. No infrastructure whatsoever. We have no jobs. We have no transportation. The only jobs that we have is North Dallas jobs. And I know it's a lot of special interest, big money in North Dallas. But I don't want it to control the people, because the people are rising. Now, you hear the young man? We're awake. We're no longer in the dry bones in the grave anymore. I'm no longer lathered in the grave. Okay, I'm woke. And I think a lot of other people are woke. So, people, all I ask to you, and all I want you to do, is be fair. Because we voted for you to be here. We are the people. We only get 3 minutes to speak. At our council meeting, I pay taxes. So I want you to be very careful, because there's a movement going on out here that can be a wonderful thing, but it also can be something that will hurt our people if we don't work together. And we want the people down here that's selling us out no more. Will we stand for that? So I got 1 minute now, Scott. But I want to say to Scott one more time, thank you. You knew. You hadn't been tainted yet. Okay? But we are the people, and we are no longer dumb, deaf, dumb, and blind. We see what you're doing. We're watching what you're doing. We learn how to read. We learn how to study. We learn how to research. And like I say all the time, please do what's right. And I want to ask this question to Scott. Maybe you can help me out on this. What is the plan for economic development in your district? 8904 Miramax Trail, where I live, Summit Park, 530 units. They will follow me. I need to know what you want us to do. And thank you for coming to us and asking, okay? What can you do?
Please. Yeah. Thank you. Next.
Your next speaker is Larry Mitchell. Larry Mitchell will be followed by Richard Sosa.
My name is Larry Mitchell, and the reason I'm here is because on March the 8th, I called 911 because of loud music. And then, because of the loud music, later on that night when I take my trash out, I got retaliated on the neighbor who received the ticket about the loud music. So the guy was trying to fight me. I called the police. Police came out, and I'm telling him he's coming at me. He's calling me all these names. He called me out in the street. Police went over there. I don't know what they said to him, but it wasn't nothing that much, because when I went back to take my other trash can out, he did the same thing. And I called him back out, and I said, hey, this guy's coming at me. Okay, so the police called me back on the phone and tell me, y'all better get it together. In 2008, I dialed 911, and as a result of this 2008, I got a disorderly conduct ticket, and I got an assault ticket, because me and the guy ended up getting in a big fight. It was four guys jumped me one night, and that wasn't the bad part, that they jumped me. The bad part was, when I called the police came out. I called ambulance also. They came out, and I tell him about these guys jumping me. He's looking all through my house. Then he come back, and he said, have you been drinking? Yes, I had. So he said, I'm not going to write a report. So he didn't write a report. So in essence, I done found four guys. I don't know if they're coming back, and I don't have a police report. So I have to wake my wife up, have her to call the police, and tell her that the police wouldn't take a report because he said I hadn't been drinking. Okay, so anyway, the police, I told them when they came out that I was going to call my city council the next day, the mayor, and the rest of the people. And so anyway, they got that other officer, and what he did, he made an information sheet, and it was never, an information sheet doesn't get investigated. So I'm back in the same situation. The police didn't do anything to this guy. They hadn't said anything to this guy. So I'm back in another situation where I'm fixing to get into a confrontation again, and I got my bills here where I went to K Clinic from a result of the four guys fighting me. So, you know, I just need the police or somebody to step in, tell these guys something. They can't just come over and cuss me out just because I dialed 911, and then they have a responsibility to do what the police want them to do, is reply. I mean, just turn the music down. So I hope someone can help me resolve this issue.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Chief Cato's here. If you'll step over here, he'll talk to you right now. We'll get it taken care of immediately. Thank you.
Next speaker is Richard Salsa.
Chief Cato's over here, sir. Yeah. Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Good morning, Mayor, City Council, and all the council members. Mayor Pauline Medrano. This has to do with a lot of your council members' districts. One of the districts that we are in, me and my two colleagues that are right over here, that are in wheelchairs, we go right down St. Paul. We've been harassed by cops telling us to get on the sidewalks when most of your sidewalks in here are not ADA capable to right where we can get them up on the sidewalks easy. If a person going down St. Paul, going down towards Cornerstone, wants to go down that way, they have to be out in the street and almost get hit by vehicles. I took one of them, we went all the way up on Royal Lane and Webb Chapel. The sidewalk over there, right by the gas station, there is no end caps right where you can get up on there, to right where we have to be out in the street. And you know these streets and these vehicles, they're not watching out for us pedestrians, much less people in wheelchairs and everything. We would like, Yang, for the city council, for you guys to be able to make it to right where everything is ADA and hold these businesses that the sidewalks are in front of going down St. Paul mostly and around, hold them accountable for getting their sidewalks fixed to right where people in wheelchairs and walkers can actually go down and not be in the streets and get hit and have more of a bill in their hands. Whether we're homeless or somebody just going down that street, it is very hard for them to go down that street being ADA capable. Thank you.
Thank you. It is an issue that as a city, as we evolve our streets, making sure they're ADA compliant is important. Rick Galterin is our public works director. Would you grab a moment with him and he can talk to you about what we're doing?
Not a problem, Mayor.
Thank you very much.
That concludes your speaker for this morning, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. We'll move to the approval of minutes. Okay, we've got a motion and a second. Any edits, additions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
We proceed now to your consent agenda. Your consent agenda consists of items number 2 through 99 and addendum items number 1 through 4. However, item number 16 and number 19 were deleted on the addendum. Item number 69, initially deferred by Councilmember Davis, has been undeferred and pulled for individual consideration. Item number 71, which was deferred also by Councilmember Davis, is put back on the consent agenda as it has been undeferred. Item number 84 is undeferred as it was initially deferred by Councilmember Davis and is pulled for individual consideration. And item number 89, also deferred by Councilmember Davis, is now undeferred and will be considered as part of the consent agenda. Item number 97 has been deferred by Councilmember Davis.
All right, so let's just recap here. So read the items that we are considering in the consent agenda that were not deferred.
All right. You will have items number 2 through 15, mm-hmm. 17 and 18, items 20 through 68, items number 70 through 83, items 85 through 99, and addendum items number 1 through 4.
How about item 70?
Item number 70 is part of the consent agenda.
Okay,
thank you, Mr.
Okay.
Mayor.
And so we've got a motion to approve that consent. And a second. Any other questions, clarifications, discussions? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
We move now to item number 69. Item number 69 is authorize a professional services contract with Hewitt Zollers, Inc. for architectural and engineering services for design and construction administration for the facilities maintenance building to be located at the Southeast Service Center at 2800 Municipal Street.
Thank you. Entertain a motion, Ms. Davis.
Thank you, ma'am. I just had just one question on 69. We changed Municipal Street to Carlton Garrett Street, and this is in Ms. Carraway's district, to Carlton Garrett. I just need someone to come up and just tell me what do we need to do to finish the rest of it out on Municipal. And that's the only reason I pulled this. It was Vanessa Nels, just to ensure that the name was Carlton Garrett all the way through, because from my understanding it was just a portion of it.
Yes, ma'am, we've received your memo and we'll process that.
Okay, what are we going to do? That's what I'm asking.
Well, the section that actually goes through the service center is not a dedicated road, so we can just, that's a private drive, so we can change that administratively. And then the little tail that comes up, we'll need to process that.
Okay, so it doesn't have to go through the process all over again?
Yes, ma'am, but just for that small little section.
Okay, and then the rest of it is just
we can do that administratively. That's a private drive.
Okay, does it have to come back to the council for approval?
The little section that comes out will, but we can change the address of the building immediately because that's on the part that's the private drive.
Okay, I just want to, Ms. Carroll, I just want to make sure that it comes back to the council so all of it can be Clark and Garrett instead
of
Municipal.
Yes, ma'am, it will be.
Okay, thank you so much.
Will you move for approval?
I move to approve agenda item 69.
Great, thank you. Mr. Carraway?
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you, Ms. Davis, for calling to my attention, but I would like to say that somebody needs to tell me what's going on as well. I would appreciate if you all would come back to the microphone so that at least I can have the benefit of the doubt of knowing what is taking place, what has taken place, why it is in the position that it is, how long it's going to take, what we're going to do, and just give me some clarity.
Okay. As you recall, we did change the name from 175 to Bear Street.
Yes, ma'am.
And that was the dedicated, that's the official street. That was all done back in August of 2011, so that's been done. Now, the portion to the west that goes through the Municipal Service Center tract, that's not a dedicated public road. So we just worked on the portion east. So what Ms. Davis has asked us to do is take that private drive that goes through the city property and rename that so it's all consistent.
And what do we have to do? What is the procedures in order to take care of that?
Change the signs.
All right, so when are we going to change the signs?
As soon as we get them made. Yes, sir.
Okay, so that will take place.
Yes, sir.
I need not worry.
And we'll be back.
And the reason I said, because signs were up once before in that same area, were they not?
No.
Yes.
And then they were taken down.
Not on the city property.
Okay. All right. As long as the process works, I'm fine. Okay.
Yes.
But I'm going to be holding, I want to stay updated with what is going on, and I have the right and the responsibility to know and not find out here. Okay?
Yes, sir.
All right.
I'm still entertaining a second. Mr. Carraway, do you want to second it?
Second.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Motion is carried.
Item number 84 is an ordinance amending Chapter 28 of the Dallas City Code to regulate the speed and direction of vehicles on certain streets, expressways, and freeways.
I'll entertain a motion. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor. Could you please clarify who made the second?
Ms. Medrano and Alonzo.
We proceed now to item number 101. For your consideration for boards and commissions, you have to the Automated Red Light Enforcement Commission, Chandra N. Williams, nominated by Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Atkins. To the Landmark Commission, Carmen Gonzalez, to fill the Citizen at Large category, is nominated by Councilmember Alonzo. Your nominees for full council appointment are to the Reinvestment Zone 3 Board, Oak Cliff Gateway. Don Rain is nominated by Councilmember Griggs as a registered voter. To the Reinvestment Zone 6 Board, Farmers Market, John W. Miller is nominated by Councilmember Hunt, also as a registered voter. To the Reinvestment Zone 12 Board, Deep Alum, John W. Miller is nominated by Mayor Pro Tem Medrano, also as a registered voter. And you have for your appointment also as chair, Bruce Richardson has been nominated as chair for the Board of Adjustment by Mayor Rawling.
Okay, we have a, I'm going to entertain a motion.
Second.
Excuse me,
Mr. Mayor, let me pull my list of nominees.
Hold on here. Yeah.
I'm sorry, there are actually more nominees.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Okay.
To the Reinvestment Zone 14 Board, Stillman Corridor, you have James Adams, nominated by Councilmember Allen, as also as a registered voter. John Dean is a registered voter, also nominated by Councilmember Allen. Robert P. Stewart is a registered voter. James Fry is a registered voter, also nominated by Councilmember Allen. Thank you.
Second.
Okay. You got that? Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 102 is authorized number 1, approval of bonds to be issued by the North Texas Education Finance Corporation for the benefit of Uplift Education in accordance with the issuer's organizational document and given approval to the bonds and the project to be financed with proceeds of the bonds for purposes of Section 147F of the Internal Revenue Code of 1986 as amended. Uplift Education has requested that the North Texas Finance Corporation issue bonds in one or more series in an aggregate principal amount not to exceed $90 million for the benefit of Uplift to finance and refinance a portion of the cost of acquiring, constructing, improving, and equipping certain educational facilities in Dallas, Arlington, Fort Worth, and Irving, Texas. And number 2, consideration of the addition of 4 nominees to the Board of Directors of the North Texas Education Finance Corporation. This item was amended on the addendum, and 2 separate motions will be needed for Section 1 and Section number 2, which is the amended portion of this item. Mr. Mayor, we do have individuals signed up to speak on the item. Your first speaker is Yasmin Batia.
Good morning. My name is Yasmin Batia, and I am the CEO of Uplift Education. I reside at 4230 Beachwood Lane in Dallas, Texas. I would like to personally thank the City Council for the thoughtful discussions regarding our bond offering over the past few months. I would also like to thank the dozens of Uplift parents, staff, and students who have shared their perspectives on being part of the Uplift community during this process. Since the last City Council meeting, I would like to give an update on 2 fronts. As we have discussed, part of our bond package includes lower interest rate qualified school construction bonds. I'm pleased to report that we have soft commitments from a well-known commercial bank and two Dallas foundations to purchase our allotment of the QSCAB bonds once we go to market in mid-April. As shared, the annual savings from these lower interest rates on these bonds will provide real dollars that we can put back towards uplift teachers. Secondly, we are getting ready to have our last student lottery deadline on April 1st for our new schools and our recently opened schools. Across all schools in our network, we have collectively received over 10,000 student applications for roughly 1,500 open spots. For our two newest schools, we have seen great interest from families in the community. For example, our new school in Deep Ellum had over 150 families attend the open house that just took place this week. We have already received more applications for this school than we have open spots. And in Fort Worth, we have received over 250 applications. The bond package that we are asking for support on largely allows for the expansion of our existing campuses. When uplifts first open to school, we typically do so with a small number of sections per grade level, and then we expand the number of sections as the school matures. This naturally creates inflection points where we need to grow the current school facilities to accommodate the growing number of students coming through the school. This is what is behind the construction projects in the bond package related to Peak Prep, Hampton Prep, Heights Prep, Pinnacle Prep, and Summit Prep. Hence, we are asking for our bond package in total and for all specific projects included to be approved by City Council. Any modification of our bond package will jeopardize our construction schedule and allowing for these school expansions to be complete in time for the students who need them. On a separate note, I would like to close by taking this opportunity to recognize a great win for public education in our city that occurred a few weeks ago. Both DISD's Trinidad Garza Early College High School and Uplift Peak Prep were two of three high schools in the country that received the National Excellence in Urban Education Award. I would like to publicly congratulate Trinidad Garza for this honor on behalf of our entire organization. Thank you.
Thank you.
Your next speaker is Jessica D. Sala. Jessica Sala? Not present. Jacqueline Ray? Ms. Ray will be followed by Jackie Ayala, Jonathan Pham, Joe Eckert, and Jesus Sanchez.
Good morning. Jacqueline Lovelace Ray, 2625 Elm, Dallas, Texas, 75202. I currently work for Uplift Education, and I've been with Uplift Education for 7 years. One of the reasons why I joined the organization is because of the dedication and commitment to our scholars and the dedication and commitment to our families in ensuring that our scholars have opportunities to go to college and also have an opportunity to impact and serve their communities and the world on a global level. Uplift is an exciting organization to work for. We have dedicated and vigorous staff. Our teachers work tirelessly to help ensure that we reach our mission. And by selling the bonds, we would be able to reward these dedicated teachers who are often there. Some are there at 5 in the morning, and some stay until 9 at night. We also have teachers who tutor on Saturdays and also tutor during the week. And we also have extended years and an extended day as well. We also have a very, very dedicated families to our organization. They are very supportive of what we do. And if you ask our teachers, if you ask our families or our scholars what they really like best about attending one of our schools is the teacher dedication and the teacher relationships that are built with the scholars. Our families have opportunities to reach out directly to their teachers and they are informed about scholar progress regularly, and our parents really love that. And some of our alumni have come back and told us how much they thoroughly appreciate the relationships that they've built with these outstanding educators. Thank you.
Thank you.
Your next speaker is Jackie Ayala.
Good morning. I am Jacqueline Ayala, a junior in Women's Preparatory. And first off, I would like to thank the City Council members to allow me this opportunity to speak not only on the behalf of Uplift Education, but also personally on the staff and students of Women's Preparatory. I'm here today to persuade you to give us the funding to expand our schools and also to continue the education that Williams has offered me. My mother is a single mother raising two children, and Williams has offered me a great opportunity to not only continue the dream and also now a reality of attending college, but also because it's a smaller school, Williams is like a closer family to me, and I never have to worry about my teachers never answering my calls or emails because they will always be there for me. And the students there get such a great education that we become thinkers and leaders and inquirers. And if your teachers aren't available for you, your peers certainly will. It's just such a great experience for me because I'm not the only one who dreams of going to college. All of my students and all of my classmates have that dream and see it as a reality. Williams and Uplift Education also gives a great opportunity for students to get out of the classroom and experience real world activities, such as recently our seniors have read A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens, and their English teacher took them to the theater to watch the play and get a better idea of what the play is about. And I personally have an interest in art, and Williams gave me the opportunity to enter a program known as Art Chicas, and I got to work with several other different artists. And I also went recently to the Art Contemporarium and met a personal favorite artist of mine, Shepherd Ferry, which is a great opportunity for me because it realizes that I can get out of school and I can take all that learning I take from school and put it into use. And also, Uplift Education offers amazing college counselors that meet with you weekly, if not daily, and just talk to you about your classes and how everything's going and also what college you want to attend. The goal isn't to be accepted to college, but to be accepted to the college of your choice. And so it's been an amazing opportunity. And I would just personally like to thank to be given the opportunity again and hope you all have a wonderful day. Thank you.
Thank you.
Your next speaker is Jonathan Pham.
How many more speakers do we have, Mr.
We have Joe Eckert and Jesus Sanchez. Would you please raise your hand? All right. If you'll please come closer to the podium.
Let's just take 3 more minutes on this issue, guys, just to kind of a minute apiece.
Good morning, City Council. My name is Jonathan Pham, and I have lived in Dallas for 18 years now. The street I live in is 4609 Junior Street in 75246. And for you to know, it's the same street Baylor Hospital is located, and it's one of Dallas's historic districts. In those 18 years, I have attended Peak Preparatory for 6 years, and I plan to add in 1 more year for that. This is my last year before I move on to college and to the real world. Within those 6 years of being a Peak Scholar, I would like to truly say that these 6 years were really worth it. My experience at Peak was paramount, because after attending Peak for some time, my fellow colleagues and teachers, our relationship with each other grew to what you would find in a family: friendship, respect, and trust. And with this bond and funding, I hope that my nephews and fellow
go ahead and finish your paragraph.
This and my nephews and family members and other students continue this
Family Oriented School. Right now, seven different schools and universities have accepted me, but my real focus is to attend Texas A&M University down in College Station. While attending A&M, I plan to major in electrical engineering, but before I reach that goal, the teachers and the faculty and even the students at Peak have provided me the knowledge and encouragement to push forward to reach my goal. Before I sign off, I would like to thank Peak to allow me to represent Peak Preparatory and the City of Dallas to support the school.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. And good luck at A&M.
Joe Eckert.
Excuse me. I'm sorry.
Good morning. My name is Joe Eckert. I live at 9707 Highland View Drive in Dallas. In the interest of time, I'll keep it short. I'm in favor of the financing for Uplift Education, and I hope that you approve the financing, the bonds, and the project. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Jesus Sanchez, 3219 Sharpfield Lane. I'm representing Uplift Laureate Prep School as a parent of a third grader. My daughter went to Lipscomb Elementary School. It's a real good school. But we have a business in Lakewood, and I saw Peak become such a great school from the beginning. And when I tried to get her in there, I couldn't because so many people wanted to get in there. And they just opened Laureate when my daughter went to second grade. And my daughter loved it. She loves the way they serve responsibility and ask for the best of her. Hopefully, it will grow with her through through high school. She's already planning college. Okay, and on behalf of my daughter's teachers, that are fantastic teachers, the two that she has had, and her peers, I ask you to put them first and vote yes for Uplift Funds Package. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
That concludes your speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion on this motion. We have Ms. Carey second. We'll have a record vote. Discussion, Ms. Davis.
Thank you, Mayor. Who's the North Texas Education Finance Corporation?
Do we have a Jean?
Nope, don't worry about it. No one could come. Okay.
Jean, do you want to answer?
Who's the North Texas Education Finance Corporation?
So that's the nonprofit that the City of Dallas created in order to allow for this financing to take place.
Okay, so we created that. Does it have to be approved for the creation of the name?
So the North Texas Education Finance Corporation was created and approved by the City Council on February the 22nd.
Okay, February. Can I have a copy of that, please?
Sure.
The other thing I want to know, Mr. Mayor, is about the board. What do we do with the board?
So, as our discussion about 2 weeks ago, I asked if you would feel better if we put those four new members on this board.
Who are the four new?
And would you read the list of the nominees again?
I'm sorry, Mr. Mayor, I don't have that list with me.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Madonna. If you'll read them. I think everybody was sent this in preparation for this. Yes. There you go.
I received a memo, and the first one, it was Mary Elizabeth Sevilla, Liz, Gilbert.
And before, Ms. Medrano,
yes.
I understand that everybody got a memo. I'm doing this because we got the public listening to the meeting, and I want the names to be out there. I did get the same memo as well.
Okay, well, you can read them.
No, she can read them.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, the second was Gilbert Girth, the Senior Vice President for BOK Financial. The third one is Albert Bryan, Jr., CEO, Principal of Bryan Blair Group Architects. Those are the three that I have. And on the list... I didn't get Trini.
Trini
Garza. And the first one, Liz, is an attorney.
Okay.
The city has attorney.
So how were those names selected? Did you select those names, Mr. Mayor?
No, I did not. Ms. excuse me, no, I did not. These were names brought by staff, and they had vetted with the other city council people and nominated to me.
Okay, then my last question, what will be reported to the Internal Revenue?
How will this be reported to the IRS, this organization? The city, from the city, we do nothing, right?
Now, someone has to report this to the Internal Revenue Service. If it's not us, then someone has to.
When bonds are issued, a Form 8038 is filed.
What is it?
A Form 8038. 8038. 8038. Is filed with the Internal Revenue Service.
And can anyone go and look at those? Are they open to the public once they're filed?
I suspect that you could make an open records request and find them.
Okay. And that form is reported to the Internal Revenue Service, and then if an individual wants to go and see how the money has been spent on the cost of the bonds, then the individual can call the Internal Revenue Service or they can go online and take a look at it.
Yeah, I've never tried to get an 8038 from a different financing, but frankly, my firm has been engaged as bond counsel.
So I'm just asking a question. If when you report it to the Internal Revenue Service, this is the form that you report and you gave
you
that. Okay, thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Davis.
Uh-huh.
We have a motion and second. Any other discussion? We'll have a record vote.
Okay.
Can you get the system going, Mr. Mayor? Please start voting. All have voted on the motion. Voting in favor are Council Members Hunt, Margolin, Hasso, Caraway. Council Member Allen is absent. One vote taken. Also in favor are Council Member Coop, Mayor Rawlings, Council Members Alonzo, Medrano, Grayson, Griggs, Cadane, and Atkins. Voting against are Council Members Davis and Hill. Motion passes, Mr. Mayor. I will also need a motion for section number 2, which is on the Board of Director appointments.
Motion. We have a second, Ms. Caraway. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you. Mr. Mayor, I was informed that Council Member Davis also did want to undefer item number 97. So I will need a motion to reconsider the consent agenda.
We have a motion to reconsider. Second, we have to have two-thirds, right?
Yes.
Two-thirds. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion to reconsider is passed.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I will need a motion now to go ahead and approve the consent as previously read, which will include item number 97 and number 100. All in favor?
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We proceed now to item number 103. Item number 103 will require a record vote. Item number 103 requires a motion that the Council of the City of Dallas adopt the item and authorize the use of power of eminent domain, if necessary, to acquire from Margaret Marie Giddens a tract of land containing approximately 5,146 square feet of land at 3935 Telephone Road in City of Dallas, Block 8307, Dallas County, Texas, and more fully described in Exhibit A of the proposed written resolution for this item for the construction, use, and maintenance of a pipeline or pipelines for the transmission of treated water together with such appurtenant facilities as may be necessary as part of the Southwest 120 and 96-inch water transmission pipeline project.
We have a motion. We have a second. For a second, Mr. Cadet, discussion.
Discussion. Yes. Do we have approval of this owner to purchase this property? Or have we already worked something out with her?
I'm sorry, sir.
Do we have approval of this owner to purchase this property? Have we already worked something out with her?
We've tried to work something out with the property owner, Mr. Gadane. However, this is a partial take. We offered him $5,000 based on independent appraisal. However, the property owner does owe $86,000 in back taxes and will not accept that amount.
So this will go into eminent domain?
Yes,
procedure?
Sir. Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Comments? We have a record vote. Yes.
Excuse me, Mr. Mayor, if I can clarify, Mr. Cadane, did you make the second?
No.
Councilmember
Margolin.
Margolin, thank you. Please start voting. All have voted on the motion. Voting in favor are Council Members Hunt, Margolin, Hasso, Caraway, Coop, Mayor Rawlings, Council Members Alonzo, Medrano, Grayson, Griggs, Atkins, and Hill. Voting against, Council Member Cadane, absent when vote taken, Council Member Davis, and Council Member Allen. Motion passes, Mr. Mayor. Item number 104 also requires a record vote and requires a motion that the Council of the City of Dallas adopt the item and authorize the use of the power of eminent domain, if necessary, to acquire from Janine Hall, Irvin Hall, Carmen Hall, and Jane C. Hall a tract of land containing approximately 2.119 acres of land located at 27604 LBJ Freeway in City Block 8499, Dallas County, Texas, and more fully described in Exhibit A of the proposed written resolution for this item for the construction, use, maintenance of a pipeline or pipelines for the transmission of treated water together with such appurtenant facilities as may be necessary as part of the Southwest 120 and 96-inch water transmission pipeline project. Is there a motion?
So moved, and also record vote.
Okay. I need a second. Second.
Please start voting. We do have one individual that hasn't voted.
Yeah, but I need to ask a question.
Okay. Well, Council Member Cadane wants to ask a question before we...
Mr. Cadane and Mr. Allen just walked into the room.
Okay, this hasn't actually gone into eminent domain, has it? I mean, they're working with us on this?
On this one, sir, there are four different property owners.
Right.
None of the owners have been responsive. We have offered them $41,000 based on an appraisal. So this one we've not had cooperation. If you recall, the Southwest Transmission Pipeline is a big project. We're acquiring 250-300 parcels. We're down to the last remaining half a dozen or so that we've had some difficulty working with the property.
And you have four people own all that own.
We've had four different owners, and we haven't had a response from any of those owners.
Thank you.
All right, just to clarify, Council Member Allen, there was a motion to approve item number 104, and we are taking a record vote. Mr. Mayor? Has everyone voted? Council Member Davis was also, I think, away. We have one person missing. This is on item number 104. All have voted on the motion. All voting, Mr. Mayor, all 15 members of the City Council have voted in favor. Motion passes.
Thank you.
Item number 105 also requires a record vote and a motion that the Council of the City of Dallas adopt the item and authorize the use of the power of eminent domain if necessary to acquire three tracts of land containing approximately 10,419 square feet of land located near the intersection of Meek and Carbondale Streets in City Block 7637 and B7636, and more fully described in Exhibit A of the proposed written resolution for this item for the Meek Street Paving and Drainage Improvement Project. Is there a motion?
A motion and a second. Any discussion?
Please start voting.
Could I ask the same question, please?
Yes, sir. This one is a little bit different. This one, the property owners are deceased, and there's no proof of heirship. So we do need the commissioner's court to decide the title.
Okay, thank you very much.
All have voted on the motion. Mr. Mayor, all 15 members of the City Council have voted in favor. Motion passes.
Thank you.
We proceed now to some public subsidy agenda items, and I'm required to read the following statement into the record. This will pertain to items number 106 through 112. By making and seconding this motion, the council members represent they have undertaken sufficient examination and involvement beyond reviewing the agenda materials to be knowledgeable about the facts and the circumstances of the case and to be able to develop an opinion based on such an examination of the various factors and issues involved. Again, agenda items number 106 and 112 were required 2 seconds. Item number 106 is authorized a Chapter 380 Economic Development Grant Agreement pursuant to Chapter 380 of the Texas Local Government Code in accordance with the city's public-private partnership program with DealerTrack Inc. related to the consolidation and relocation of its software development and transaction processing operation to 13737 Noah Road, Dallas, Texas, 75240.
We got a motion and a second. Any discussion? We need a second, right?
Second.
Mr. Cadane?
And I'm sorry, who made the motion?
Ms. Coop.
Thank you.
Mr. Atkins and Mr. Cadane. Discussion, Mr. Atkins.
This came through Economic Development Committee. This was a company that was planning on moving to New York, but also going to stay in Dallas. They're going to create probably another additional 320 jobs. So it's in Linda Coop District. Linda, congratulations. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Atkins. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 107 is authorized number 1, the execution of a conditional grant agreement for a grant from the City Center Tax Increment Financing TIF District Fund to the Dallas Housing Financing Corporation to facilitate the development of affordable housing and support ongoing operations of the Dallas Housing Finance Corporation in an amount not to exceed $650,458. And number 2, a temporary transfer of funds from the Public-Private Partnership Fund in an amount not to exceed $300,000 to the City Center TIF District.
Entertain a motion.
And
Ms. Hunt and Mr. Atkins, 2 seconds. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Items number 108, 109, 110 need to be considered collectively, so I will read all of those into the record. Again, this item does require 2 seconds. Item number 108 is authorized number 1, a development agreement with Lennox Exploration LLC and or its affiliates in an amount not to exceed $3,200,000 payable from future Fort Worth Avenue TIF District funds in consideration of the development of Sylvan 30 Impact Increment Financing Reinvestment Zone number 15, Fort Worth Avenue TIF District, and number 2, the Fort Worth Avenue TIF District Board of Directors to dedicate up to $3,200,000 from future Fort Worth Avenue TIF revenues in accordance with the development agreement. Item number 109 is a resolution declaring the intent of Tax Increment Financing Reinvestment Zone number 15, Fort Worth Avenue TIF District to reimburse Lennox Exploration LLC and or its affiliates for eligible expenditures pursuant to the development agreement up to $3,200,000 for certain improvements related to the development of Sylvan 30 in the Fort Worth Avenue TIF District. Item number 110 is authorized an economic development grant agreement pursuant to Chapter 380 of the Texas Local Government Code in accordance with the city's public-private partnership program, business development grant program with Lennox Exploration LLC related to the development of Sylvan 30 on property currently addressed at 712 and 738 Fort Worth Avenue, 738 Interstate Highway 30, and 1802, 1808, 1812, 1824, and 1830 Sylvan Avenue in Southern Dallas.
Thank you, Ms. Rios. I want to entertain a motion, Ms. Alonzo.
Thank you, Mayor. Colleagues, I greatly appreciate everything that you all have done in the past, and I ask for your support once again. This is not only a part of the Grow South initiative that the mayor has been talking about, but it's also about opportunities, it's about jobs, and it's in the neighborhood. And I want to personally thank Mr. Jackson for coming in and walking and talking to the neighborhood to let them know what all the thought was and what they wanted to do. So, again, colleagues, thank you very much. I ask for your support. And I move for approval, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Alonzo.
Second.
Mr. Alonzo, we have a second. Mr. Atkins.
Again, thank you, Monica Alonzo, for your cooperation and for your community. This is part of West Dallas, and I think this will bring the community more close together and also part of the Mayor Grow South. One thing is that if you take this template and we move this in other parts of the city, which it can work. This is about retail, mixed-use development, something that we need to do. This is going to come back to us down the road because we still need a new market tax credit. So this is a start to push this forward. Again, thank you, Monica.
Thank you, Mr. Atkins. Ms. Davis.
Councilmember Alonzo, this is your day to shine, and I really did. Carl came and briefed me on the project on yesterday. I think it's really a good one. Thank you for putting and working with your investment team to make sure that this deal happens, and I will be supporting you on this item.
Thank you, Ms. Davis. Mr. Carraway.
Ms. Alonzo, thank you, Mayor. Ms. Alonzo, I was very pleased to be one of the seconds for this movement. I want to commend you for all the hard work and say that you're doing a tremendous job in this continuum.
Thank you, Mr. Carraway. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 111, again, also requires 2 seconds. It's authorized supplemental agreement number 7 to the master development agreement among the City of Dallas, the Downtown Dallas Development Authority, and FC Merck Complex LP, a Texas Limited Partnership, FC Continental Complex LP, a Texas Limited Partnership, FC Continental Landlord LLC, a Texas Limited Liability Company, and FC Continental Manager, a Texas Limited Liability Company and Managing Member of FC Continental, to amend Section 1.07 Profit Participation to terminate the city's 20% profit participation in cash flow, financing, or sales proceeds from the Mercantile Block project in the event of foreclosure of the project.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Motion. Do we have 2 seconds?
Second.
Ms. Hunt. A second. Okay. Thank you, and Ms. Medrano. In discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 112 is authorized on-site reconstruction of 7 homes in accordance with the requirements of the Reconstruction Share Program Statement for the properties located at 3918 Vineyard Drive in the amount of $103,000, 1343 Berry Avenue in the amount of $103,000, 2906 Alpine Street in the amount of $103,000, 2703 Maudry Avenue in the amount of $103,000, 3160 Nandia Drive in the amount of $103,000, 3612 South Fitzhugh Avenue in the amount of $103,000, and 5317 Goodman Street in the amount of $103,000. This item just required 2 seconds.
We have a motion in 2 seconds. Ms. Atkins, Ms. Medrano, and Judge Hill gave the original motion. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
We proceed now to addendum item number 5. This only requires 1 second. Authorize number 1, preliminary adoption of substantial amendment number 14 to amend the 2008-2009 through 2012-2013 consolidated plan and the fiscal year 2011-2012 action plan for the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development Funds to incorporate additional city priority needs and resources, including A, job creation as an enumerated community development block grant, activity to expand economic opportunities for low and moderate income persons, and B, identification of the Lake Highlands Town Center project as an eligible CDBG economic development and activity providing permanent full-time jobs for low and moderate income persons. And number two, a public hearing to be held on May 9, 2012 to receive comments on substantial amendment number 14.
Motion and second, Mr. Allen. Any discussion? Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Addendum item number 6 does require a record vote. Addendum item number 6 requires a motion that the Council of the City of Dallas adopt the item and authorize the use of power of eminent domain if necessary to acquire from C.A. Keating a tract of land containing approximately 3.5 acres located near the intersection of Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard and 11th Street in City of Dallas Block 4651, Dallas County, Texas, and more fully described in Exhibit A of the proposed written resolution for this item for the development of wetlands for the Dallas Floodway Extension part of the Trinity River Project. Is there a motion?
I will entertain a motion. So move to second.
Second.
Ms. McGarland. Ms. Davis.
You know what? I think we adopted the resolution and the motion. I'm going to ask the secretary, do we need to, read anything?
No, ma'am. All we need is just simply a motion.
Okay.
To approve with a record vote.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Please start voting. All have voted on the motion. Mr. Mayor, all 15 members of the City Council have voted in favor. Motion passes.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, that actually concludes your items for this morning.
Thank you. It is 10:14. We will recess till 1 o'clock this afternoon. We will... is there something else? Okay. Recess till 1 o'clock this afternoon. Thank you.
Madam Secretary? Yeah, we have 9.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. We're going to go ahead and proceed with the zoning consent agenda. That consists of items number 113 through 119. However, agenda item number 118 has been pulled for individual consideration by Councilmember Coop. I will first read the items into the record and then call the public for speakers. Item number 113 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting the renewal of specific use permit number 1726 for a vehicle display sales and service on property in Subdistrict 2 of Plan Development District number 534 on the south side of C.F. Hahn Access Road east of Dowdy Ferry Road. Item number 114 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for a child care facility on property zoned in R-7.5A, single family district on the east side of St. Augustine Drive between Home Place Drive and Tamantias Drive. Agenda item number 115 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for the sale of alcoholic beverages in conjunction with a general merchandise store use of greater than 3,500 square feet on property in sub-area 2 of Plan Development District number 366-D-1, the Buckner Boulevard Special Purpose District, with a D1 liquor control overlay on the southwest corner of South Buckner Boulevard and Lake June Road. Agenda item number 116 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an amendment to specific use permit number 1090 for a public school on property zone in R-7.5A, single family district on the northeast corner of Briar Grove Lane and Voss Road. Agenda item number 117 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an amendment to Plan Development District number 194 for a fire station on the west line of Greenville Avenue north of Boundbrook Avenue. Agenda item number 119 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting the creation of a new subdistrict within Plan Development District number 577 on the east side of Central Expressway, north of Meadow Road. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve this item? Any speakers in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the items that were read into the record? Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers, Madam Mayor. Agenda item number 118.
Mr. President, I just want to make a knowledge. We have the superstar Troy Aikman in the house, Dallas Cowboy. Thank you for coming down, Troy.
Thank you. Agenda item number 118 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for a tower antenna for cellular communication on property zoned in R-710A, single family district on the south side of Beltline Road, east of Hillcrest Road.
Madam Mayor, we sent 15 notices to property owners within 300 feet of the area of request, received 3 replies in favor and no replies in opposition.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers, Madam Mayor. Number 118.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I move to close the public hearing and approve the SUP number 1944, subject to a revised site plan that we've given the city secretary.
Okay, we have a motion by Ms. Coon, second by Mr. Cadet. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed?
The following items require I read the statement into the record. This will be for agenda items number 120, 121, 122, and addendum item number 7. By making and seconding this motion, the council members represent that they have undertaken sufficient examination and involvement beyond reviewing the agenda materials to be knowledgeable of both the facts and the circumstances of the case and to be able to develop an opinion based on such an examination of the various factors and issues involved. These items will require 2 seconds. Agenda item number 120 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a planned development district for a public school other than an open enrollment charter school and R-7.5A single family district uses on property zoned in R-7.5A single family district and an ordinance terminating specific use permit number 142 for radio towers on the north side of Bruton Road between Mac Lane and Hilburn Drive.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 286 notices to property owners within 500 feet of their request. We received 14 replies in favor and 40 replies in opposition.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak? And I'm sorry, we do have individuals signed up to speak on item number 120. I will first read the names of those individuals. They will have 3 minutes each to speak. Then the item will be opened for other public speakers. Your first speaker is Imana Cordova. If you would please state your name and address for the record. Ms. Cordova will be followed by Tim Dalby.
Sure.
Please proceed.
My name is Imana Cordova, and I live at 2187, and I'm about 500 feet from the school. And I'm not sure why I'm here or my neighbors are here. I've been working with this Hispanic neighborhood since October when we first heard about the school. I contacted my city council member, Mr. Caraway. I have yet to get a meeting. We have yet to get a meeting. I have contacted the mayor and asked for a meeting. We have not gotten a meeting. Our trustee, Nuttall, did give us a meeting, and quite frankly, it wasn't a serious forum meeting. I have contacted our homeowner association, and they gave us 2 minutes to speak, and I took 5 more. I represented these people. We got 7 minutes. I'm here to tell you that this school is in a dangerous location, and we're not making this up. We didn't do the traffic studies on this because that's not our job. This is the city of Dallas. By law, maybe you don't have to do it, but I'm here to tell you that you need to do a traffic study on this place. Children are going to get hurt. You've got 93 accidents per year at an intersection 0.2 of a mile away, and you're going to, and a DISD representative said on Channel 4, well, there's not going to be that many children walking to school. How many is that many? One is too many. If one child gets, uses that cross intersection and crosses over from the south side. So I don't know what the position of this council is, because no one has talked to us about, you know, I don't know who has talked to you. No one's talked to us. And that is of great concern to me and to my Hispanic neighborhood. I'm a parent educator, and I know one thing. The way that you enforce limits with your children is if you set a limit, then you have to follow through. And I hear a lot about, oh, well, we don't like what DISD is doing, and we don't, you know, we don't like how they're approaching this, but we're going to go ahead and vote for it anyway. I think this is a serious mistake if you go forward with this school. That driveway is too small. There's a school that's even bigger, smaller than this school, and they've got 150 children. I can show you the chaotic mess that we have at these schools in our southeastern sector. You've got children getting out of cars. You've got children getting into traffic. You've got children crossing across crossing walks without crossing guards. You've got crossing walks where there's U-turns. And this is what's going to happen here, because there's going to be a U-turn. There's going to be a U-turn that's just 50 feet from another dangerous intersection. Hellbrook, go check that one out. I don't ever go down there, but that has serious traffic accidents. And the speed is terrible, and you've got alleys. The school is on three alleys. I don't know who picked this site, but it's of grave concern that my city council members do not represent me. There are a few here that got it, just like that, and the rest of everybody else does not want to be concerned about protecting these children. You are putting children in harm's way by not further investigating this. And sorry if I act passionate. I am passionate. I do not want one single child to get hurt or killed or anything. And I am asking you and begging you to just not write this off and let DISD, we'll just, you know, let them get away with it.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Your next speaker is Tim Dalby. Not present. Mary Benavides. Not present. Dorita Molina Vasquez.
Good morning or good afternoon. Good afternoon. Do I need to state my name and my
address? Please, your name and your address.
I'm glad to, sure. My name is Dorita Vasquez. My address is 2210 Mack Lane, Dallas, Texas, 75227. My main concerns are, number one, is the safety of the elementary school little children, because it is an elementary school, who will be crossing busy streets such as Hilburn and especially the dangerous Bruton Road and other streets in the neighborhood. My concern is for the children walking along to and from school without an adult. Number two, the decorative concrete wall. What is a decorative concrete wall? A concrete wall will attract street kids and gang members to come and do graffiti. And all I will see is graffiti on my view and also of my backyard, and also it will be blocking my view. As it is right now, at the present time, the alley is being trafficked late at night, in the middle of the night, waking us up by drug-related vehicles. The wall will provide for those wrongdoing people a place to hide and continue to do their wrongdoing. I do not want a wall across my alley. If the school would be built, I would prefer a wired 10 feet fence. Number three, on the other side of my alley, which will, if I'm talking about the ISD property, if the school is built, I do not want trash dumpsters near my backyard. Those could be moved to the back and to the center of the school, away from Mack Lane, away from Rave Hill, and away from Hilburn. I do not want modulars near my alley. I would prefer baseball, soccer, football fields, or even a family park, because all of the above are safe and healthy for our community. A big concern of mine, the biggest concern of mine also, not the biggest, but a big concern of mine also is the DISD has not listened to us as a community. Look what happened on O.M. Roberts. DISD bulldozed the community. I have been remodeling my home for a couple of years, getting it ready for my retirement years. And I fear that if the ISD builds a school, then they will come and bulldoze my home. Thank you so much for listening. Hope you will take in consideration mine and my community's concerns. And I have another complaint here, but I don't think I have time for it. I need to speak to someone that's in charge of the city of Dallas, because I have a complaint here.
Okay.
Who do I need to talk to? I don't want to talk to Juanita.
You just step right over there. We'll get somebody here. Thank you.
Your next speaker is Norma Hernandez. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Good afternoon, Mayor Rawlings, ladies and gentlemen of the City Council. On behalf of every student, faculty member, parent, and community member, we would like to thank you in advance for taking into consideration our serious safety concerns and for keeping our children safety and neighborhood safety your highest priority. Ladies and gentlemen, the request before you fails to meet traffic requirements. We are concerned with DISD's traffic management plan. It requires full consideration before DISD is given the green light to proceed. Today, I'll focus on how it violates Section 51P114, specifically how this request is contrary to the public safety interest. For example, every school day, children will be crossing Bruton Road on their way to and from school. Student safety is paramount, but DISD's traffic management plan places the safety of the children in jeopardy. Some students don't have an authority figure around, so DISD proposes to place crossing guards to determine the best action to take for a traffic study that must be submitted by November 1st, 2013. But ladies and gentlemen, the facts are that this is a very busy and dangerous street that has claimed numerous accidents. Why wait for the results in Section 51P3B115 to return confirming a traffic hazard? So as such, I would like to recommend that you deny DISD's proposal, as it fails to comply with the safety of children and pedestrians. Please don't endanger a cross guard nor the safety of the students. Stand up for safety and make a difference today. Mayor Rawlings, we are here today because we are confident that you're the right person that can make a real change, not promote public relations campaign. We are confident that you are the right person because of your interest in DISD's leadership and working on getting DISD's integrity back. We are confident that you don't want this to happen on your watch, like the O.M. Roberts Project case. At last month's hearing, when DISD misled and used forceful statements about O.M. Roberts, you said that if DISD expected your support,
In return, you expected excellence from DISD. I strongly believe that DISD's excellence is not very excellent when it comes to traffic management for Thelma Richardson Elementary. Ladies and gentlemen, DISD bullied some of you last month in order to get their O.M. Roberts zoning approved. Don't be a victim of DISD's bullying. We want change. We need change. And we are confident that you will make the decision to stand for justice for our communities and for student safety and their future. Thank you.
Are there any speakers that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve? If you will please state your name and address for the record. Your comments are to be directed to Mayor Rawlings. You'll notice the timer will be for 3 minutes.
I ain't gonna take up a lot of your time. The DISD is closing 11 schools. I know, Mayor Rawlings, you get angry when I speak on this. You violate my rights to speak, but it's still okay. But DISD is pitiful. The board members is pitiful. Learning is pitiful. The teaching is pitiful. So if you let item 120 pass, and then you letting us know that this city council is just like the DISD, don't care nothing about the children and their safety. And so when one of the children get killed, run over and kill, and then we're going to come back down here, and then we're going to ask you again, Mayor Rawlings, about all what you say you're going to do for the kids. When one of these kids get run over and killed, I'm going to make it my personal business to come down here and ask you, Mayor Rawlings, about you helping the DISD, you personally. Okay.
Are there any other individuals that would like to speak in opposition? If you will, please state your name and address for the record.
We have a microphone. Yeah.
Can you hear me? My name is Bertha Lloyd. I am directly affected by the building of the Thelma Richardson School. It will be located right behind my home. I am not opposed to the building of any school for the education of children. So let me make my stand there. Where I am opposed to is the building of the school directly behind my home. Reason for it, number one, again, safety. Why safety? Because I took the initiative, I took the time to do an Open Records Information Act through the Dallas Police Department, who gave me what I needed for the past 5 years, 2008, 2009, 2010, 2011, and to the present, explicitly asking for what I needed in order to deal with the traffic report. I would recommend and make a suggestion to DISD, because of the safety issue and because of people getting off of Bruton Road coming through our neighborhoods, to, how should I put it, when people are trying to get to work, they're going to use other means and other ways to get to work. And I can see my community being used for that. Why? I am a guilty party of going to work, getting off 175, going through South Dallas to get to Oak Cliff. That's why. Now, let me help you maybe with another suggestion. Because I've always been taught, when you have a problem, help people with a solution. I think the ISD need to look at other things with the schools that they have. Example, we have in the area John Adams, W.A. Blair, Blanton, Burleson, Hawthorne, Allen, Pleasant Grove, San Jacinto. We are saturated in my neighborhood with schools, elementary schools. But let me enlighten you, Mayor. All of these schools are good elementary schools that could have been renovated, added on to, leg-wise, up, or whatever, that added to the aesthetic value of whatever community to the surrounding areas that we are in. Now, let me align you on education. When you take those schools, they are all academically acceptable. Oh, but watch what they feed into. All those elementary schools in our area feed into academically unacceptable middle schools. Who are they? Fred L. Florence Middle School, E.D. Comstock Middle School, John D. Hood Middle School. All academically unacceptable. What high school we have destroyed? I look at Skyline. We have destroyed the Skyline cluster. We could have put renovation money into that. And Skyline, we used to be the greatest school in North Texas.
Thank you, Ms. Lloyd. Appreciate it.
Are there any other individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor? Please state your name and address for the record.
Mayor and members of the council, my name is William Copp. I'm 900 Jackson Street, representing the Dallas ISD. Mayor, I'm the only speaker from our side. I may need to take just a little bit more, if I may, than the 3 minutes to cover some of the things that were brought up.
Well, why don't we do the 3 minutes, and we may ask you for questions.
Okay. I hear all the time, as you do, how important education is in this city, and what are we going to do about it? Well, we want to build new schools. We want to provide opportunities for the kids. We've heard in a very recent case that was even referred to today by Mr. Hernandez about O.M. Roberts, which is across town, but teching, and another lady also mentioned the teching of homes. Well, this is a big, huge site that was available. We didn't have to take anybody's home. It's a perfect place for school. It's near 30 acres. We're only going to use about half of it, leaving a tremendous amount of buffer between the homes and this new school. As far as the traffic issues, the city's traffic engineer and the Shadeville and Associates, who has someone here today that's our representative and consultant on traffic, have said that this plan that we have works. It was brought up about one of the ladies says that she's not against having a school, she's just against having it next to her. Well, we tried to accommodate that by having a 6 to 8 foot wall all the way around. The property, like I said, is 30 acres. The part that we're not using, about half of it, that's to the north and to the east, will be screened, as well the school area. All the queuing of letting people on, picking the kids up, will all be done on school site, not using the streets. We have 97, we can queue 97 cars, and our studies indicate that we only need 69 queuing spaces. The school has more parking spaces than required. It was also referred to that there's a number of schools in this area. Yes, there's a number of schools out here, but there's a whole lot of kids out here, too. Of the schools that the last speaker spoke of that were in the area, she talked about a number of them, but I want to particularly refer to the Ireland School, San Jacinto, Hawthorne, and Blanton. Every one of those schools is 125% of the capacity they were built for or greater. This school is needed as much as any of the ones we brought before you. We've got a site we're going to put it on that's adequate to do all the queuing of the traffic on the site. We're buffering the neighbors both with land and with fences. We're not buying anybody's home or forcing anybody out. We're at a willing seller. We've got a situation here where we can put a school in the right place to put it. Yes, it's on a six-lane street, but I've got a whole list, I won't bore you with it, of other schools here that are on six-lane streets. You have school zones, you have crossing guards, there are ways to manage this. So we respectfully request that you approve this today, and if I'm answering questions, I'd be more than happy to do so. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We may have them. Thank you.
Are there any other speakers that would like to speak in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Mr. Caraway.
Thank you, Mayor. Let me first say I want to thank all of the folks for coming down in addressing their concerns. As the council member that represents that area, I did attend the homeowners association meeting last week, as late as last week, Piedmont Homeowners Association meeting with Ms. Shirley Starks and Betty Watkins and a few others, and I've had additional conversations. And ironically, we have a split in the neighborhood where we have some that are for it and some that are against, but the homeowners association at the meeting were for this school. Let me be on the record and very clear. Ms. Lloyd, I want to thank you. You said some things that were very pertinent, in my opinion. They're very eloquent, and I would love to have you involved in additional conversations and solution solving as it relates to the ISD. Let me be real clear. I am also for education. I'm for educating each and every kid, child, in the city of Dallas and beyond. I'm pro-education. I am one that have talked about my dismay with DISD as well. I appreciate this forum that we're having today, again, as related to DISD, and subsequently, and however, the problem that we're faced with today is not a city problem. This is still a DISD problem. This is a DISD problem that we must make sure that we collectively together put the shoe on the foot that should be wearing this. This is a process that the city of Dallas has to go through, and even after, and it should pass today, does not mean that we let DISD off the hook. What I am saying is related to talking about safety, and Ms. Cordova, the safety of the children is paramount with me. I have talked about it during the process of DISD closing all of the schools. I too feel that they should repair schools first versus building schools. That is something that I think that we as a choir should be going to DISD, making sure that our representatives there that are elected by us as well understand that that's what should be taking place, and that should be what our voices should be turned up very loud in, and is in their arena. Now, let me talk a little bit about child safety. Well, I hollered and screamed right here from the horseshoe because there's a school in Oak Cliff that's Harrell School that's on 11th Street that the kids are going to have to, because they're closing that school, they're going to have to cross the very busy street and pull the tapes of my comments from here at City Hall, because at the city council meeting, because they got to negotiate and go across Corinth, busy Corinth, where there's traffic flowing over the Corinth Street Bridge, rushing through rush hour traffic, going to work. And these little babies got to cross the street. I made that clearly known. There are other schools that are closing, Wheatley and H.S. Thompson off of Bass Street, that will have to negotiate the traffic on Hatcher. And Malcolm X trying to walk those little young kids, elementary I'm talking about, kids to school. There's one that's even worse than that, and that's Arlington Park. And I spoke of Arlington Park. Behind St. Paul Hospital, they have to negotiate Harry Hines, and not just Harry Hines, but I-35 freeway. So it has not been something as related to safety of children that I have let pass by me. So I understand the fact of what we're talking about as related to the traffic where this particular school is to be built. But there are other schools that have the same concerns and even worse. You're talking about babies crossing I-35 freeway. You're talking about babies crossing Harry Hines Boulevard. You're talking about babies crossing Corinth Street. And this same concern should be collectively addressed to DISD. Not selectively, but collectively addressed to DISD, the safety of children everywhere. So I wanted to kind of point those few things out to let you all know that there have been traffic concerns, and I hear them. There have been traffic concerns, and I spoke up about them. But then it went right ahead, and DISD, they are the ones that have chose to close the schools for whatever the reasons, be it the right or wrong decision. I don't agree with it, but that's in their arena. But now, with that, I'm saying and suggesting that when this item moves forward, this is not the end of the argument. This is not the end of the road. I, as a council person, I, as a parent, I don't have a kid in DISD today, but I feel parenting to all of the children there, and I'm obligated to represent them as well. I am one that wants to still go down and suggest to them, because they do need to address those concerns. I feel that it is not too late for them to address the concerns and come up with some type of solution. I want to again say that I don't agree with them shutting down schools that are already built in the neighborhood. The neighborhood did not move away from the school. So there should have been room and plans to repair the school, as you so stated, Ms. Lord. But now, I will not impede the opportunity of furthering people's education, but it should be education with safety as well. So wanted to say that I hear what the concerns are today. I want to clarify and make sure that we understand that as we move forward, this is just another step that they have to go, but this is not the final step. This is not the final step. The final step rests with the DISD Board of Education and those trustees. So I would hope, I know I'm going to have somebody mad at me today, but you shouldn't be as mad at me as you should be as mad at DISD, because it's their decision, it's their plan, it's their move, and they're coming to this council for a particular clearance of a hurdle that will allow their plan to move forward. We're not DISD, and I'm not responsible for them. And I will hold them accountable when we should, and they don't really like or want to hear the things I've just said. And what I've just said is a part of holding them accountable and making sure that they're understanding that I'm not just a happy camper with the decisions that they're making. However, this council has to continue to be governed and to govern this city and to move things forward. Our planning commission, I believe, did pass approval of this item, and they've reviewed it. But now I'm willing to do everything that I possibly can, Ms. Lord. I know you're paying attention to me. I got some folks over here mad at me, but that's okay. But let me just say this. I am willing to try to wrap my arms around this problem and to help address it best we can so that we can make the necessary adjustments where adjustments can be made to satisfy our neighborhood best we can. But will I vote to stop a school? Will I vote to stop education? No, I won't. Will I just accept anything, any kind of way? No, I will not. But this thing has been vetted. This thing has been talked about. The Neighborhood Association has said, hey, look, we want it. I hear Ms. Cordova and your other neighbors that say that we don't. But at the end of the day, we're at an impasse. So with that, Mayor, I'm going to close the public hearing. I'm going to ask that we move forward with the recommendation to approve it. But I do want to make sure that you all understand, Ms. Cordova, Ms. Lord, and the others, I am willing to be a voice at DISD so that we can address the overall concerns that DISD is putting not just on your plate, but they put this on our plate, and we have to make a move. But it is not and should not be looked at as the final move more than we go down there and we tell them to make the necessary adjustments, not just to that school, but make the necessary traffic adjustments, safety concerns for all of the schools that we represent and that our kids are going to. So with that, Mayor, I move approval.
Thanks. We have a motion and a second of the discussion. Ms. Grayson.
Thank you, Mayor. Willie, I have some questions for you, please. One of the things that caught my eye about this case was is that as the notices came back, there were 40 returned in opposition to this case. That is a really significant number of people who are opposed to this zoning case out of the number of notices that were sent out. I wanted to ask you, Roy, did you meet with these folks who are down here today or any of the people who sent in notices of opposition, but in particular these people who took the time to come down here today and express their concerns?
We had several meetings. I can't personally remember who all attended the meetings. As Councilman Carraway said, the Piedmont Cheyenne Association held these meetings. We attended the meetings. We talked to them numerous times. They took a vote. They've sent you emails. You should all have one.
No, I didn't. They indicated
that they favor this. Now, I don't remember if all of these specific people there. I do remember some of them were at the Plan Commission, but I don't recall whether they did the meeting or
not. Did you meet with Ms. Cordova or Ms. Lloyd or any of the people who are down here today?
I didn't personally, but yes. Yes.
What was done to address their concerns? I mean, how did you respond to the concerns that we heard today?
Well, their concerns really, really have to do, in the way I understood them, the way we understood them, had to do with the street and the traffic on the street. We put all, as I indicated, we put all of our traffic for queuing on our property. We've taken it off of the streets. We've had your traffic engineers look at it. We've had our traffic engineers look at it. It's not dissimilar to many other schools that we have throughout the city and the type of street that it's on. And we've added a left turn lane to be able to allow people to get into where we have the queuing, where we can queue 97 cars, where our studies show we need about 67. I know it's 97, 69. So we've addressed, now they don't believe we've addressed that because some of their comments have to do with things that have happened previously on that street and speculation of what might happen on that street in the future. We can only treat this the way that the traffic engineers tell us it should be and by going by experience that we have schools on these types of streets all across Dallas. We have school zones, they're marked school zones, reduced speed limits, crossing guards, and every precaution that we can take.
Let me ask you that, Willie. Are you sure that there's going to be crossing guards here?
The school district folks have told me that there will be.
Okay.
And they generally are when we're on streets like that.
I'm asking you these questions, Willie, because you represent DISD.
Yes.
And I find it so troubling that we keep getting these cases down here that have neighbors come and say that they don't feel like DISD is listening to them. You know, I had a case today from PISD with an expansion of a school, which your firm worked on, and we had numerous meetings with the neighbors, and it just sailed through. I don't know if that's the difference in the school district or what, but I just find it troubling that we keep having these DISD cases with neighbors coming down. I think education is so important also. Nobody would disagree with that statement that education is important. But so is having neighborhoods dealt with in a manner that makes them feel like their concerns have been heard. And I know that not everybody's going to always agree on everything when all is said and done. And I really agree with what Mr. Carraway said, which is that this is a DISD problem, and they're not addressing it. They're not working with these neighborhoods. And I applaud him for saying that he's going to try and continue to look at this and see if he can't find some way to address these concerns in a more comprehensive manner. But I really am concerned that DISD continues to bring these cases forward and we have these kinds of concerns addressed at this council level when it's really DISD who needs to come to grips with these. Thank you.
May I make
registration?
That's fine.
Ms. Hill?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Cottrum, you named four schools in that area that are overcrowded. Will you call the names of those again for me?
I put my notes over there, but let me see how good my memory is. San Jacinto, Blanton, Ireland, Hawthorne. Yeah. This school will be a reliever to all of those schools.
Thank you. The reason I ask is because I know two of those schools. This property is immediately adjacent to my district. This is Mr. Terry's district, but it's immediately adjacent to mine. And two of those schools I know because they're mine, and I know that you are speaking correctly when you say the two in my district are more than overcrowded, and those are not the only two in that area in District 5 that are overcrowded. There is a crying need for a reliever school in that area. In fact, I believe there is probably a need for more than one school in that area because of the very rapidly increasing young population. In the Oak Cliff part of my district, it is older residents, but in this part of the district, the folk there are young, and they have young children, and they are having more young children. Mr. Terraway, I am going to strongly support the approval of this motion. I am going to disagree with both Mr. Terraway and Ms. Grayson and anyone else who sits on this horseshoe and criticizes DISD. I do not know what DISD heard, what they did, or how they responded. I do not sit in the trustee meetings. I was not elected as a DISD trustee, and I don't want to be elected as a DISD trustee. That is truly a labor of love that takes more than a little bit, and I am not willing to sit here and criticize what they've done. I don't know whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, but I'm willing to find my lane and stay in it. And DISD is not my lane. To that extent, I disagree with my colleagues who would criticize DISD, whether rightly or wrongly. I simply disagree. But, Mr. Carraway, let me reiterate, I strongly support the approval of this zoning case. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Fell. I need a second on this. Can I get that from you? Thank you. Ms. Davis.
Thank you, Mayor. I just want to say two things. I think that I don't think we're here to criticize anybody from DISD, but I do think that as we would do if we had an issue with DISD, perhaps we would call a school board trustee. At least I would. And I think it's the responsibility of someone at our school board level to at least let the council member know, or this body know, that there is a zoning case coming before us. There needs to be some community input and some community meetings so that we can have an understanding of what we're dealing with when it comes before the horseshoe. So I think that process is not in place. I think that when it gets to us, it almost feels like we are the victims of the problem when we're not. We're just trying to make a zoning case and make a good decision on the zoning case. So when you have individuals come down, the question is, do they go to DISD and complain the same way they complain with us here? I don't know. And that's a question that should be asked. Are they asking the same question out of the trustee as they're asking us? I think that it puts us kind of in the middle of schools, and I agree, Ms. Hill, we should not be in that fight, but we have to make a decision at the end of the day on supporting this agenda item. Now, when it comes to the crossing guard, the city approves the crossing guard. I think they're hired through us. Ron, do we hire the crossing guard?
No, actually we do hire the crossing guards. Yeah.
Okay, so we hire the crossing guard. So now that we, and I knew we did because I'm dealing with a school in my district around Truett Elementary, and I went over there one day, and this looked, I mean, the cars were going 30, 40 miles per hour, and at 3:30, when those kids, babies get out of school, they're not paying any attention. The cars ain't paying any attention. And so we've had, that school has asked me and pleaded with me to make sure we get crossing guards there, but they think it comes from the county. Then they call Dallas Community Schools and ask Dallas Community School call us. It's back and forth on whose responsibility it is for the crossing guard. So I think that before we bring zoning cases like this to us, then it needs to be some type of meeting with the crossing guard, supervisor, or manager, I don't know, to say we've got these things worked out. On this particular avenue or boulevard, we need two crossing guards, we need one crossing guard, and so when it comes to us, we've got those things worked out. But this is clearly a city responsibility when it comes to the crossing guards. Mr. Mayor, I think we need to somehow figure out how we're going to handle the traffic study along with the crossing guard if that is a concern. And it seems like it's a concern. It's just in areas where there's a lot of traffic.
Thank you, Mr. Davis. Ms. Carroll?
Yeah, and I'll make this short. Let me just try to come up with somewhat of a future solution. And to my colleague, as related to DISD, you know, I was at a meeting when DISD bashed the Dallas City Council. I want you to know that. Mm-hmm. And it was at Harrell School. And then they put the whole problem of closing the schools and the traffic on the Dallas City Council, and I was there. Okay? And I resent it, and I want to put the shoe back where it belongs, on them. Now, let me just suggest something that I do suggest at my home meeting. And that is that there needs to be, and Mayor, I will suggest this to you, that we, the Dallas City Council, at least once a year, there is a need for us to have a town hall meeting. This is my opinion. And in the town hall meeting for all of the citizens of this city, we need to have every level of elected officials. It's a town hall meeting. We need to have the Dallas County. We need to have the state. We need to have the school board. We need to have the justice of the peace. We need to have the sheriff. We need to have everyone at this town hall meeting. And let me tell you why. Because at some of my town hall meetings, for example, folks are so confused, and the city is blamed on everything. When they see the freeways and the high weeds on the freeway, that is not a city of Dallas responsibility. That is the state of Texas and TxDOT. But when we go to these meetings, they're screaming and are mad at us for something that we do not control. It is very important, I feel, and Ms. Davis as well, that we host a town hall meeting with every level of government, so whatever the citizen of this city's concern is, then they will have an opportunity to have that addressed, and it can go to the proper department, the proper level of government. meaning that if it's schools and someone is here at this major town hall meeting, can speak on schools. If it's something dealing with the state, they can deal with that. If it's something dealing with truancy, you have your justice of the peace. If something that's dealing with the county, then they can step up to the plate. My citizens are truly confused when we go to them in these town hall meetings, because whatever happens within this city, they blame it on or think that the city of Dallas and the city council is the answer, and we are not the answer for each and every concern. So I'm hearing this as related to the ISD. Ms. Davis, good suggestion that when we do have in the future with Ms. Cotton, I would suggest anything involving the ISD, we at least try to have some counsel and discussion with some of the trustees or something, so that the neighbors won't be mad at us, and they can have a much better understanding about what our position is and why we have to move certain projects along. But then that responsibility does lie, because the decision of this school was not created by the Dallas City Council. Let's be real clear. The decision to build this school, the selection of where the school was going to be built or proposed to be built, the design of this school, all of the things that are dealing with this particular school, all the way to the name of the school, it happened at DISD. We just are here today to have to move the process one step further. But I'm through with that. And Ms. Lord is trying to say something. Ms. Lord, I have to talk to you afterwards. But I want to get a meeting with you, and so we can begin to share some ideas. I'm asking for help. I'm hearing, and I'm very compassionate with what we have before us today. I want you all to know that. And I'm going to work extremely hard to continue to fight it to the point to where we can bring some type of resolve to it. I'm obligated to you to do that. But we still are somewhat handcuffed today to make a move, but it will not be a move that will not go through unheard by me as we attempt to move forward.
Thank you, Mr. Fairway. Mr. Cadane.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Hey, Ryan, when we give them traffic guards, we hire them. Do we pay them? And does the school district reimburse us?
The school district does not reimburse us. We hire them. We pay for them. We get reimbursed, though. There is a fee on traffic tickets that goes towards school children, and we use part of that money to pay for our school crossing guards. Also, Denton County and Collin County help us pay for school crossing guards.
So if we needed extra guards there, we could pretty much get them. We have the funds to take care of it.
We have a lot of funds to take care of it. It's still partially responsible to the general fund.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Cadane. Ms. Hasso.
Thank you, Mayor. I just wanted to add to the conversation on the crossing guards is that, you know, Councilmember Mark Golan and I had tried earlier this fiscal year, to get the county on board to help us pay for the crossing guards, or to be part of that same solution that we have with Denton County and Collin County, where we could hire more crossing guards. So it's a Dallas County issue at this point, and we couldn't get one additional commissioner to vote in our favor to give us the additional funds we needed to hire additional crossing guards. So, I think as Councilmember Carraway has stated, we have a long way to go to work together as intergovernmental agencies, and I would just implore the community to understand that, you know, sometimes the city's hands are tied, and we definitely would look to you to help us to get the message across. But we'll go back to that drawing board here pretty soon. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hasso. We have a motion in 2 seconds. No other discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried. One opposed. Ms. Grayson is opposed. Thank you.
Item number 121 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting the creation of a new tract within Plan Development District Number 269, the Deep Ellum Special Purpose District, on the northeast corner of Indiana Street and Malcolm X Boulevard.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 62 notices, property owners from 500 feet there request, received 9 replies in favor and no replies in opposition.
Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Ms. Pedrano.
Thank you, colleague. This is the purpose of this is to request to create a new track of plan development in 269, and it will allow the developer to have the flexibility to convert existing ground level retail space into multi-family units. They have had several businesses on the first floor, and the businesses just have not, you know, have not flourished there. And so all the businesses have closed, so the developer has come and wants that flexibility to make that bottom floor, I guess, a work, live, multi-family units on the first floor.
So is that the motion?
It is the motion.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. We need two or just one?
Two.
And Ms. Margolin, second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 122 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an amendment to plant development subdistrict number 78 within plant development district number 193, the Oaklawn Special Purpose District, generally bounded by 9th Street, Brown Street, Throckmorton Street, and Fairmount Street.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 274 notices to property owners from 500 feet of their request, received 9 replies in favor and none in opposition.
Are there any individuals in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Ms. Medrano.
Yes, I'd like to ask Mr. Robert Baldwin to step forward, please.
Good afternoon, Your Honor.
Madam. Mr. Baldwin. I just for the record, I just want to make sure that you said in the record what your last email to me was on this development.
Yes. You had a concern about affordable dwelling units on this property, and I've spoken to my client, and they agreed to have 3 units for affordable housing on this property for 3 years.
Okay. And then the smaller units?
And the smaller units are, some of the units have been sized in such a way that it is a more affordable project than other projects in the area to allow for, you know, more workforce housing in the Oaklawn area.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mr.
Collins.
I move this item to be approved.
Thank you. We have 2 seconds. Ms. Alonzo and Ms. Davis. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
We proceed now to addendum item number 7, which is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a new subdistrict within plant development district number 619 for mixed uses and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for an alternate financial establishment on the south side of Elm Street, west of North Irving Street.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 117 notices. Property owners from 500 feet of their request received 5 replies in favor and 1 in opposition.
Are there any individuals in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Ms. Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to close the public hearing and follow the CPC recommendation with the following amendment. Specific use permit will terminate on May 1st, 2015.
We have a motion in 2 seconds. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 123 is a benefit assessment hearing on street paving, storm drainage, and water and wastewater main improvements for Risen Drive from Winding Rose Trail to Hillcrest Road, and at the close of the hearing, authorize an ordinance levying benefit assessments and a construction contract with Texas Standard Construction Limited, lowest responsible bidder of nine, not to exceed $603,472. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to address the City Council on the item? Are there any individuals that would like to address the City Council on item number 123? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I will entertain a motion, and Ms. Grayson's there. Oh, there it is, Ms. Grayson.
Yeah. Move approval.
Okay.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. We need two?
No.
Okay, we only need one. Thank you. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 124 is a benefit assessment hearing on street paving, storm drainage, and water and wastewater main improvements for street group 06-451, and at the close of the hearing, authorize an ordinance levying benefit assessments and a construction contract with Texas Standards Construction Limited, lowest responsible bidder of seven, not to exceed $709,645. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to address the council? Ma'am, you will be allowed 3 minutes to speak. Please state your name and address for the record.
Hi, my name is Anne Marie Winston, and I live at 635 North Montclair. I am one of three property owners, along with the Dallas Independent School District, affected by this project. I object to the project and question its benefits and believe it will reduce the usable area for parents to park while waiting for their children at Rosemont. However, that is not why I'm here to speak, because I've been told that I would need to get three by several city employees and in some cases four people to object to this for anything to happen. I don't think I can exactly knock on the door of DISD. One of the other properties is empty. The homeowner has moved to California. It is for sale, and I was unable to reach her. What I would like to bring to your attention is that I believe the whole process was mishandled by the City of Dallas. I would also like to note that at the direction of Councilman Griggs, the engineer assigned to this project has worked with me to address some of my major concerns about the impact to my property. It has taken me 12 hours of my time to get to that point. There was a lack of proper and timely disclosure to the affected homeowners and to potential homeowners regarding this project in the assessment. In February of 2006, letters were sent regarding the project. They should have gone to the homeowners of the properties affected. The one for 635 North Montclair was sent to someone who had sold the property in September of 2005, nearly 5 months prior to then. The person who sold the house to me had no knowledge of this project. I have spoken to her. She had never heard of it before. Had she known, she would have been legally required to disclose this to me. And I can honestly say that the knowledge of this future assessment and inconvenience, coupled with some other property issues, would have caused me to purchase a different home. I was denied that knowledge by the city, and I think that the city, I'd like to understand why the city didn't properly notify, and I've also researched that there are many cities in this country that actually have a very simple database with this kind of information available, and they make it available to title companies so it can be disclosed to potential homeowners. I know I'm not really going to get anywhere with this except that I got to see Troy Aikman as I was coming in, but I feel that if citizens don't speak for what they believe and bring it to the attention of the council, then we can't expect you to act or make changes. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for being here. Go ahead, Mrs.
Are there any other speakers that would like to speak on the item? Any other speakers on item number 124? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Mr. Griggs.
Thank you. I'm going to move approval, but also some questions for staff.
Go ahead. Do we have a second? We have a motion to set now. Why don't you go ahead and ask the question?
Someone could come up from the city attorney's office, just walk through what our notice procedure is. Colleagues, I think this is a situation where we want to get a sidewalk improvement next to Rosemont for DISD, which I think is very valuable for kids to safely walk to the school. And then when we put this out there, we started in 2006. This is managed with the bond program. We started this in 2006, so now we're just getting to the point of building a sidewalk. And so the home ownership has changed. So what's our typical notice procedure?
When the product is designed and ready when we get ready to go to construction, typically on a project like this, the project manager and the paving assessment staff will send out notices to have a public meeting and talk to the residents about the project and answer questions. But it happens before the project goes to construction.
Would some type of database be possible on our website so people interested in purchasing properties or real estate agents could go to it and see this house in a couple of years is going to have an assessment of $1,800 for a sidewalk which has been approved?
I'm sorry, I didn't understand the question.
Would it be possible to have a database accessible via the Dallas City Hall website where we would post which properties have assessments in the future so that potential purchasers of property who end up with it 6 years down the road?
We can do that.
Is that, I mean, across the city, would that be difficult to do? Because I think Ms. Winston has a wonderful idea with this database.
I believe we can develop a process by which we can do it.
Okay. Then if you could just get back to me with that, I appreciate it. And I know you've done a great job working with Ms. Winston with the meetings with her. I know you had some concerns, Ms. Winston, about your fence and about how the sidewalk was going to impact part of your property, and staff's been working through those. So I really appreciate you bringing this to our attention. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gregg. Any other questions or discussions? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 125 is a public hearing to amend the City of Dallas Boulevard plan to change the dimensional classification of number 1 Elm Street from Good Latimer Expressway to Exposition Avenue from a 4-lane undivided roadway within 60 feet of right-of-way to a special 2-lane undivided roadway within 60 feet of right-of-way and 38 feet of pavement. And number 2, Palmer Street from Good Latimer Expressway to Exposition Avenue from a 4-lane undivided roadway within 60 feet of right-of-way to a special 2-lane undivided roadway within 60 feet of right-of-way and 38 feet of pavement. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to address the council on this item? Any speakers? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Ms. Medrano.
Thank you very much, colleagues. This is something that the property owners in the Deep Ellum area have been wanting for a very long time. It is going to calm the traffic. It is going to slow the traffic down, and hopefully will be very good for businesses. So I move to approve.
We have a motion and a second. Ms. Hunt seconded. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 126 is a public hearing to amend the City of Dallas thoroughfare plan to change the dimensional classification of Riverfront Boulevard from Continental Avenue to Corinth Street from a special 8-lane divided roadway within 137 to 100 feet of right-of-way to a special 6-lane divided roadway with bike lanes within 130 feet of right-of-way and 93 feet of pavement. Are there any individuals that would like to address the City Council on this item? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Move to approve.
We've got a motion and a second. Any discussion? It's about a bike lane. All right, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 127 is a public hearing to amend the City of Dallas thoroughfare plan to change the dimensional classifications of number 1, Sylvan Avenue from Interstate Highway 30 to Fort Worth Avenue from a 6-lane divided roadway within 100 feet of right-of-way to a special 4-lane divided roadway with bicycle lanes within 90 feet of right-of-way. And number 2, Sylvan Avenue from Fort Worth Avenue to Singleton Boulevard from a 6-lane divided roadway within 100 feet of right-of-way to a special 4-lane divided roadway with bicycle lanes within 100 feet of right-of-way. Are there any speakers that would like to address the council? Ma'am, if you'll please step forward, you will be allowed 3 minutes to speak. Please state your name and address for the record.
Thank you. My name is E.A. Sreary, and I live at 1510 Kessler Parkway.
I am within viewing distance of Sylvan 30, which I think is an excellent development. But the way I understand this particular proposal is that you're going to take Sylvan Avenue in between I-30 on the north side of the highway, and just the one block of Sylvan Avenue between I-30 and Fort Worth Avenue, and make that into four lanes, where Sylvan Avenue, prior to getting to Fort Worth, is six lanes, and Sylvan Avenue under the bridge and after I-30 is also six lanes. But all I can think of is Dr. Phil saying, what are y'all thinking? That's an awfully busy intersection. My front window is within viewing distance of the very dangerous intersection at Sylvan and I-30, and I see people wrecked there all the time. And to put a bike lane in there is just making it even crazier, because on the east side of the divided roadway underneath the freeway is the U-turn lane going the opposite direction. So, A, I don't understand how that's going to fit in there. I know we have a new hike and bike park, parkway right there at Kessler Parkway, but my opposition is that it just doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any other speakers on this item?
Good afternoon to all the city councils and the mayor. I live on Sylvan in that area there, and the only concern I have is that the widening of Sylvan, because they've already, it's a six lane where I live, and they took four lanes of my yard already, which it was originally a two lane, and I just don't want it widened. But as far as the bicycles, I don't have a problem with it, you know, if you take the lanes that's already. It might be something good for me to see, I don't know. So as long as it doesn't affect my yard, it's fine. Thank you.
Are there any other speakers on this item? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Ms. Alonzo.
Thank you, Mayor. I just want to make sure that I thank Teresa and Mr. Monoy for talking to Ms. McDaniel on this issue and explaining that there won't be any property being removed or being asked for. But I ask for a motion for approval.
Okay, we've got a motion. Second. Discussion. Mr. Griggs.
Thank you, Mayor. This bike lane project is just part of a bigger picture. We're not going to get our bike lanes in Oak Cliff overnight, so this thoroughfare amendment is just one piece of the picture. That'll create some bike lanes, particularly I know Keith Manoy and others on staff have been working on this for, is it fair to say 2 years, Keith? Okay, 2 years on a plan to combine this to the Coombs Creek Trail, let people ride their bikes up to Sylvan 30, and then we're going to address Sylvan north of Fort Worth Avenue, where you know we have the underpass, so we got a bottleneck there at the railroad where we're going to go down to four lanes and look at it north to create some bike infrastructure. And even, you know, south of I-30 on Sylvan in District 3, then farther south into District 1, where we've got the one-way couplets that then go into a six-lane thoroughfare, and everyone drives down Sylvan at 60 miles an hour. So we're looking at slowing that down, bringing in bikes in a safe way, which is what Keith Manoy's been working on, because safety is of paramount importance to us. So we're going to get there, and we're going to get there one step at a time. And this is just the first step, this thoroughfare amendment. But we've been studying this extensively, how to make it safe.
Thank you, Mr. Griggs. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 128 is a public hearing to amend the City of Dallas Thoroughfare Plan 2, number 1, delete Canada Drive from Golden Lane to West Main as a four-lane divided roadway within 80 feet of right-of-way. Number 2, add Beckley from West Main to Singleton as a special four-line divided roadway with bicycle lanes within 100 feet of right-of-way and 74 feet of pavement. And number 3, delete Continental Viaduct from Beckley Avenue to Riverfront Boulevard as a special eight-line divided roadway within 134 to 150 feet of right-of-way. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to address the City Council on this item? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Ms. Alonzo.
Again, thank you, Mayor. I want to continue saying thank you to staff for everything that they've worked on, particularly that have worked on tirelessly and with the community and explaining all these issues at hand. So I make a motion for approval, sir.
Thank you. We have a motion, and Ms. Davis seconded. Any other discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 129 is a public hearing on the proposed sale of one unimproved property acquired by the taxing authorities from the sheriff to the East Dallas Community Organization, a qualified nonprofit organization, and at the close of the hearing, authorize the city manager to, number one, quick claim one unimproved property to the East Dallas Community Organization under the House Bill 110 process of the city's land transfer program, and number two, release the city's non-tax liens included in the foreclosure judgment and post-judgment non-tax liens, if any. Are there any individuals that would like to speak on this item? Are there any speakers on item 129? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Ms. Davis.
I move to approve this item, agenda 129.
The motion is second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 130 is a public hearing on substantial amendment number 12 to the 2008-2009 through 2012-2013 consolidated plan to reallocate $150,000 of prior year CDBG funds to continue service at the West Dallas Community Court and revise the MLK Business Facade Revitalization Program funded in the amount of $92,522 to expand the allowable service area and change the program name to Fair Park Area Business Facade Revitalization Program, and at the close of the hearing, authorize final adoption of Substantial Amendment Number 12 to the 2008-2009 through 2012-2013 Consolidated Plan. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to address the City Council on this item? Please state your name and address for the record.
Marvin Crenshaw, 5134 Malcolm X Boulevard. And I want to talk about the second part about revising the MLK Business Facade Revitalization Program from MLK to Fair Park. I don't understand that $92,000. That's a historic site there, Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, crossing Malcolm X, which will eventually be changed to Elsie F. Higgins Boulevard, around Madison High School, which was formerly Forest Avenue High School. All that area, that's a historic site there. So why would we take $92,000, which I don't feel that the Fair Park needs that, and change it to the Fair Park business facade revitalization program and keep it to the MLK. That's why we had MLK there, to revitalize Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. To do and you can get more money there if we have somebody there that understands that whole concept of that, a historic site around there, and you get money for that. I served on the Landmark Commission. The late Al Lipson appointed me to the Landmark Commission. And I was able to see, when you have these historic areas and these historic streets, that you can get money for. They do it all over the country. So why are we giving up that $92,000? They don't need it down there. They have plenty of money in that area down there. In fact, we should be asking them to send some of their money down there, put it on Martin Luther King. That's just pure, unadulterated greed. Why are we doing that?
Mr. Mayor.
You know?
I'm listening.
I don't want to address to my council person, but you're the person that I need to talk to.
Thank you. We're going to hear for her in a second, I'm sure. Thank you, Mr. Crenshaw.
Are there any other speakers on this item? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Ms. Davis.
Mayor, I move that we move this agenda item, but there's only one
change I would like to make to it. It should be the South Dallas Fair Park Area Business Facade, and they put Fair Park. So it should be the South Dallas Fair Park. We can just make that small amendment and move forward for approval.
So we have a motion with that amendment. Is it clear?
Ms. Allen, could you tell us why you're taking that off? Why you taking
that off?
Good job. Good job.
Good
job. So, and I will meet with Ms. Crenshaw after we make the motion, then, so we can move for approval.
Okay, we have a second. We have Mr. Atkins second. Any other discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 131 is a public hearing on the proposed fiscal year 2012-2013 operating capital grant and trust budget. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak on this item? Are there any speakers? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
We have a motion. Mr. Cadane moved for approval. Mr. Atkins second. Discussion. Ms. Davis, your light's on. Ms. Davis? Do you want to discuss this item?
No, I move for approval.
Oh, no, it's already done. Then,
the 92, the reason we're doing this, the 92,500.
No, we moved off that item.
Which one?
We're on the next one.
131.
Just turn your mic off. There we go. Thank you. Okay. Do we have any other discussion? Okay, hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
I'm required to read the following statement for item number 132. Pursuant to Section 51A 6.108G3 of the Dallas Development Code, the applicant or licensed representative of the applicant who is familiar with the application must be present and available to answer questions. Would that individual please step forward?
Good afternoon. My name is Frank Clark. I'm a senior consultant with W&M Environmental Group. I am the company's at 906 East 18th Street, Plano, 75074. I'm a registered professional geoscientist in the state of Texas and represent the applicant for the municipal setting designation.
Thank you, sir. Item number 132 is a public hearing on a proposed municipal setting designation to prohibit the use of groundwater as potable water beneath property owned by 1500 Dragon Street Associates Limited, located near the intersection of Dragon Street and Oaklawn Avenue and adjacent street right-of-way, and an ordinance authorizing support of the issuance of a municipal setting designation to 1500 Dragon Street Associations Limited by the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality and prohibiting the use of groundwater beneath the designated property as potable water. Are there any speakers that would like to speak on this item? Are there any speakers? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Ms. Medrano.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to approve item 132.
Gotcha. A motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 133, also required to read this statement, is pursuant to Section 51A-6.108G3 of the Dallas Development Code. The applicant or licensed representative of the applicant who is familiar with the application must be present and available to answer questions. Would that individual please step forward and identify yourself?
Hello, I'm Scott Harlan, Senior Geologist with Environmental Claims Management, 26 Brook Arbor Court, Mansfield, Texas. I represent Prescott Interest Limited.
Thank you, sir. Item number 133 is a public hearing on a proposed municipal setting designation to prohibit the use of groundwater as potable water beneath property owned by Prescott Interest Limited, located near the intersection of Lemon Avenue and Mahana Road and adjacent street right-of-way, and an ordinance authorizing support of the issuance of a municipal setting designation to Prescott Interest Limited by the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality and prohibiting the use of groundwater beneath a designated property as potable water. Are there any individuals that would like to address the City Council on this item? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Ms. Hunt.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to approve.
Second?
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number 134 is a public hearing on the renewal of the Dallas Juvenile Curfew Ordinance, which prohibits daytime and nighttime curfew hours for minors. Sorry, which provides daytime curfew hours. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to address the City Council on this item? Please state your name and address for the record.
Yeah, my name is William Harkins. Mayor Rollins, you got Sergeant Anderson looking into the incident when my son was robbed at Kimball High School, he got the 911 report while I dialed 911 when my son was robbed at Kimball High School.
Mr. Hopkins,
I'm wondering if Charles Tato is still over this.
Mr. Hopkins, I need you to speak on the issue that we're discussing.
I'm speaking on the curfew. I'm wondering if Charles Tato is still over the curfew, and that you got Sergeant Anderson looking into him leaving a kid in the school when my son was robbed, and I'm trying to say that he don't care nothing about African-American children, and that he's not shouldn't be over this
I appreciate
day at nighttime.
You're not speaking to this issue. So
day at nighttime curfew, that's not the issue?
No. Sorry. We'll have
this
that
don't say day and night. This don't say day and night.
Thank you.
Curfew.
Thank
and
you.
And no black can say this what this dude say, and by you being white, you can deny my right to speak and all this, and the blacks just sit here and don't say nothing.
Thank you, sir.
Are there any other speakers on this item? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Ms. Hunt.
Mr. Mayor, I'd just like to request a record vote, please.
Okay. We have a motion by Mr. Atkins. Second. Mr. Mahasso. Mahasso, did you want to speak?
No.
You have lights on. Okay. Thank you.
We start the voting, please.
We have a motion and a second.
Okay. Start voting, please.
My voting thing's not working.
I won't know until I get until I display it.
No, I can't vote. I haven't voted either.
Okay, we show 12 have voted.
My voting thing's not coming up.
All right, we're experiencing some problems. I'll go ahead and state that, okay, all but one have voted. I'll read the items into the record and then ask the other individual that was possibly left off.
Thank you.
Okay, all have voted on the item. Voting in favor are Council Members Margolin, Davis, Hasso, Caraway, Allen, Coop, Mayor Rawlings, Council Members Alonzo, Medrano, Grayson, Griggs, Atkins, and Hill. Voting against are Council Members Hunt and Cadane. The item passes, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you.
We now proceed to two other miscellaneous hearings. Addendum item number 8 is a public hearing on substantial amendment number 13 to the 2008-2009 through 2012-2013 consolidated plan budget and the fiscal year 2011-2012 action plan to number 1, except $403,200 in emergency solutions grant funds. Number 2, realign $10,000 under the essential services and operations to homeless prevention. Number 3, reprogram $1 million in community development block grant funds from the Residential Development Acquisition Loan Program to the Mortgage Assistance Program. And number 4, adopt the City of Dallas affordable rent schedule as the city's overall maximum standard for determining affordable rents and the Maximum Home Investment Partnership Act home rent levels for accomplishment and goal requirements required in the consolidated plan. And at the close of the public hearing, authorize final adoption of substantial amendment number 13 to the 2008-2009 through 2012-2013 consolidated plan budget and the fiscal year 2011-2012 action plan. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to address the City Council on addendum item number 8? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Mr. Atkins and Ms. Hoop seconded. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Addendum item number 9 is also a public hearing to authorize number 1, an increase in the service contract with Enterprise Community Partners, Inc., a nonprofit corporation, in the amount of $1 million from $2,782,473 to $3,782,473 for the implementation of the Mortgage Assistance Program MAP for the period October 1, 2011 through September 30, 2012, and number 2, an amendment to the MAP program statement for fiscal year 2011-2012. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak on this item? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion. Mr. Atkins moved. Second. Who's that? Michelle?
Councilmember Davis.
Oh, Councilmember Davis, okay. So we have motion and second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Mr. Mayor, that does conclude all your items. We proceed now to your afternoon speakers. There were some that were remaining from this morning. Your first speaker will be Valerie Hull. Ms. Hull will be followed by Martha H. Dubois, Gordon Daniel, Paul Turner, Arnice Cobb, William Hopkins, Ozumba Lunt, Marvin Crenshaw, LaCoya London, Gwen Wooten, and Robert Ciccarelli. Ma'am, if you will please state your name and address for the record.
Valerie Hull, 1818 Costa Cana, was...
Ma'am, just pull the mic down like that. Thank you.
Can you hear me now? Valerie Hull, address was 1818 Costa Cana Street, Dallas, Texas. Valerie Hull last address was at 1818 Costa Cana Street, Dallas, Texas. This was when I had addressed a letter to Councilwoman Paula Mann Randall and Mayor Mike Rawlings. Valerie Hull had dropped it off at the desk on October 19, 2011. I was told that they would get the letter. I never heard anything of it. I have a copy of the letter that I left at the desk on my issues. I will make you another copy of it if you need it. I am staying with a friend temporarily because of his disability. I am giving him a lending hand on it. I live off of Ross Avenue. I wish not to mention the full address because my issues do not concern him. I am also giving you an outline of the letter that I had addressed to you on it. They are as follows. I am having issues in getting a full-time job here in Dallas, Texas with benefits or without benefits. I want to know, do I have to speak Spanish in order to get a job here if you come from another state? I am working at FedEx Smart Post part-time, which I just started back in February 22, 2012. I had a seasonal position there last year. My pay is under $10 an hour. I can barely make 20 hours a week, which is not promised to anybody that works there. I must take off my shoes and walk across a dirty road after I get off from work. This goes for everybody that works at FedEx Smart Post. The only type of jobs that I receive is a warehouse job, part-time only, temp position. I was called once a week to two different temp agencies that I have applied for to work, see if they have any openings. I still have no luck in the office field of getting a job. My education is 55 college credits in general studies, 4 certificates, which are paralegal, bookkeeping, accounting, Excel/Word, and business. I have experience in these fields of work also. I have discrimination cases and have gone to employment equal opportunity on it. I was told that they do not have enough people to handle my case.
Take your time. That's all right. Go ahead. Ms. Hall,
I still have more civil cases. They are United States Post Office, fast food stores. I am being told by employees in the store I must leave my bag at the front counter in order to stop into the store. Property, etc. I only receive $200 worth of food stamps a month. With my temp employment agency ends, I cannot get unemployment money at all. I am being told that the job that I ended is not accountable towards my unemployment. I have very little savings. I have a charge card from a department store and a student loan that I must pay. It's not a good feeling just living off of food stamps only when your job ends. I know that my email account and my cell phone is being tampered with. The email states that it's not Valley Hall and that it will erase everything out. Also states you do not send your resume through your email account. It will not take. My telephone will have someone else in the background talking, also a different name from the business companies. I am calling a resident. It will be a different name of that person. I'm trying to reach this. Have been going on for years. I would like to have a home of my own, like most people. If you do not have an income, you cannot get it. Food stamps will not pay any bills. I must make at least $12 an hour to get an apartment or studio. I do not want a free apartment or studio. The best things in life is not free. I was taught to work for what you want. My identification was stolen. I never got any of that back. A water sprinkler, which is on the grounds of a church located on Webb Chapel. This occurred on October 11, 2011. I was walking down Webb Chapel around 2:30 p.m. and the water sprinkler just came on and wet me up. I was so upset. I know that they should have a certain time when they turn the sprinkler on. I had to go inside the public library with my clothes wet. I was sneezing in the library from it. This was very inconvenient for me. I know that it costs money to have an attorney to handle my cases. When I had money, I have gotten doors slammed in my face. The statement was, we do not handle these type of cases. My funds become very small after keep trying. I'm hoping that you can help resolve my issues that I have mentioned.
Ms. Hall, thank you very much for walking over and talking to us. Ms. Madrano's office is going to call you. She's got some ideas, and she's going to follow up and talk about job opportunities and some housing options, okay?
All right.
Yeah, if you, excuse me, what?
Ms. Hall, if you'll just wait, the meeting's almost over, and I'll be glad to speak with you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Your next speaker is Martha Dubois.
Good afternoon, Honorable Mayor and Honorable City Council. I came because I had to complain about the big issue in Oak Cliff area. Oak Cliff area was nice place to live, but now in the real question is too dangerous for seniors. I have a couple of issues and copies for everybody else in the city council and honorable mayor. Number one is aggravated assault in Notre Dame Court. I was living and I was assaulted by another citizen Mexican, the name Juan Yanez. And the manager from Notre Dame, Carmen Arana, and the Pace Corporation Realty try and cover up this situation issue, and as pretty dangerous. One dead man in my assault was inside the premises from Notre Dame in 2011. Now there are proved to annex Notre Dame court, and I requested at City Hall supervisor the situation with the seniors, because there's no police patrol in the Notre Dame court, and everybody drink and smoke marijuana in the weekends, and that's a pretty dangerous situation. It's 235 Mexican residents, and only 6 white men and women, and only 6 black men and women, which is 12, I mean, USA only. And then we was abused and verbal and saying, no more English here, it's only Spanish, and a terrible situation. And I had to leave because of my safety. Number 2 issue, it is vandalized my car twice in December 26th and January the 2012. That's a scratch and everything, damage $7,000, because vandalism is dangerous. It is against the USA people. And also, my landlord, I had a fishing, and she broke in my efficiency, the rent was paid, and killed my 2 cats mascot. She approved it to keep it in. And that's pretty racism, Mexican, because, I mean, there are things that I can do anything with the seniors, you know, USA. And I appreciate if you supervisor all this area. We need a safety place to live. Thank you.
Thank you very much. If you'll walk right over here, ma'am, I want Sergeant Anderson to talk to you because we agree with you, and he can get into the specifics and look into it.
And he did the copies for everybody else.
Thank you. You can give it to him, too, and he can pass around. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor.
Ms. Lonzo? Oh, Ms. Hesso. I'm sorry. I didn't even look down. Ms.
Thank
Hesso.
You, Mayor. And if our little our constituent will come to the podium. I can't remember your name.
Mr. Boyce.
Mr. Boyce. Mr. Boyce, if you'll come to the podium. Yes, Notre Dame Court is in my district, and we have been working recently with some of the issues that are going on there. I think we need to do a better job with police patrol. So I'm hoping we will definitely be talking to Chief Williams about that, who is the chief for that area. So I appreciate you coming down, and we will be more vigilant about police patrols. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hesso. Mr. Alonzo?
Mr. Anderson, Sergeant Anderson, I'm sorry, if you could also address the 211 issue that the senior citizens have an opportunity to call for in regards to any problems. Of course, 911, but 211 also. Thank you very much.
Explain that again for everybody that's listening.
The 211 is for senior citizens so that they can call if they have any non-emergency issues.
So
that they can be able to get.
She could have called 211.
And also, well, I mean, when she got
right.
Violated. It's, yes.
Thank you. Okay. Next.
Your next speaker is Gordon Daniel. Gordon Daniel. Please state your name and address for the record.
Good afternoon. My name is Gordon Daniel. I reside at 9901 Bruton Road, Dallas, Texas, 75217. And I am here to speak on a proposal that Pennsylvania Avenue be changed to Elsie Faye Hagen's Avenue, which is the late council member who once represented District 7. I was doing some reading on Mrs. Hagen's, and I came across an article that stated why she entered into politics, and she stated that she did so for the interest of people. And if you look at her body of work in reference to the South Dallas Fair Park area, you have no reason but to believe that reason being true, because she fought diligently for those who she felt like couldn't fight for themselves. She was successful in stopping the mass demolition of homes due to the construction of I-45 in certain areas of South Dallas, as well as she won a $15 million flood control project to help protect flood-prone homes in flood-prone areas. It is also well noted that without Ms. Hagen's help or assistance, that there probably wouldn't be an MLK Boulevard, Malcolm X Boulevard, MLK Center, along with a statue in honor of Dr. King. Elsie Faye Hagen, she felt like that it was important that those, the champions of people, were honored through street names, which is why she fought to have Malcolm X and MLK named after those people, and which is why it's also easy for me to stand before you today, because I feel like Elsie Faye was the champion of the people in her own right, which is why it's easy for me to stand before you today and ask that we change Pennsylvania Avenue to Elsie Faye Hagen's Avenue. Thank you.
Your next speaker is Paul Turner. Mr. Turner will be followed by Arnaz Cobb, William Hopkins, Ozumba Lunch, Marvin Crenshaw, LaCoria London, Dwayne Wooten, and Robert Ciccarelli.
Good afternoon, Dallas City Council. Bear with me, I'm a little nervous. I've never spoke before in public, but in fact, I didn't think a small town Kansas farm boy would be talking to the Dallas City Council, but I'm here.
You're doing a good job. So just speak into the mic so we can hear you.
Dallas Homeless Bridge is dysfunctional. My name is Paul Turner. I'm 53 years old and I'm homeless. I've been homeless for 7 months. I never thought this would happen. I've been employed for over 30 years. I've been a hard worker, a father, and a payer of child support. I was a heavy equipment operator for 18 years, and I got involved in international work designing and building golf courses around the world. I've been to China, Russia, Greece, Puerto Rico, and designed a 9-hole par 3 in Guatemala. Now I'm unemployed with all the money I have in my wallet and no income, no benefits, no health insurance, no help, and no place to stay. I want to work, but I can't find work. Meanwhile, I need a place to stay. Right now, I'm sleeping in a vacant house. I've been out on the streets, and it's no fun. The reason why I'm homeless today is because of the bridge. I stayed at the bridge on two different times in 7 months, and neither time was good for me. That's why I'm here to ask for help. In my first 3 months of being homeless, I stayed at the Union Gospel Mission. They partnered with the bridge. I was accountable, doing everything they required of me. Then on December 1st, I was 2 minutes late for the bus, leaving the bridge every night to the Union Gospel. There was no room at the bridge at night, so I slept in an outdoor garage. The next day, I signed up to stay at the bridge. They entered me into their system, and I slept on a mat on the floor in the pavilion for 25 days. I followed all the rules and reported to my caseworker. At the same time, I got a temporary 6-week truck driver's job with the Salvation Army driving for the Angel Tree. I'm trying to find a job. Each night, I returned to the bridge. On December 23rd, I was very busy with the Angel Tree deliveries and worked until 10 p.m., arriving at the bridge at 11 p.m. I was refused entry and told that I had lost my mat. I lost my mat, even though I had informed both of my caseworkers 2 days earlier and a supervisor that I was going to be having to work late. Since I had to work on Christmas Eve during the Angel Tree truck for the Salvation Army, I got my stuff from the bridge and slept all night outside in the rain, and then returned my job to the Salvation Army the next morning, Christmas Eve. Thank God I'd earned enough and saved enough to go to a cheap motel on Christmas Eve. I began to stay in a motel 5 weeks, and when my money ran out, I went back to the bridge, and they let me stay there for 3 days, remind you. Then this time, for some unknown reason, my mat was taken again, unknown. I have now been out on the streets again for 11 weeks, sleeping in the garages, and now in a vacant home, which is being remodeled. The contractor is helping me. That's why I look half decent, and the people don't stay 10 feet away from me. I've talked to a lot of people over the past 7 months, a lot of homeless people. I've talked to security guards also, and there is one security guard confirming what I've experienced and what most of downtown homeless tell me, who say from top to bottom the FAFSA bridge should be placed. There's reverse racism over there. There's favoritism, and worst of all, there is an infestation of drug addicts, which the bridge facilitates. Basically, the bridge rewards bad behavior. Drug addicts stay there. They get their monthly checks. They go out on bridges, and the bridge lets them back in and gives them a map. But yet, I'm a man. I had a job. I was on my feet. I had a plan. I was going to go get me a... I got a job in oil and gas to a friend of mine. All I needed was $600 for my CDL, but that money had to go on the motel because the bridge does not have a program to help the individuals that want to get on their feet.
Let's give you one more minute. Your time's run up, but we want
okay.
one more minute.
Thank you very much, Mayor Rollins. But I want help from the city council with this. So what brought me to this situation was when I went back in, when I had the map for 3 nights, it was raining. Now, I didn't know I'd lost my map. I'm soaking wet, and they would not walk me to my bin to get a set of dry clothes and my rain gear, knowing I'm out on the streets for the evening. So the next morning, I go on the bridge, and I'm the most polite person, one of the best clients I've ever had here. I've never caused one iota of trouble and showed every person their respect. So I go back to the bridge the next morning. Why did you take my map? Well, they didn't have an answer. I said, okay, fine, time to go to City Hall. I went over to Mr. Atkins' office. He was not there, but his secretary was. She lined me up with the lady to talk to, and she said I needed to file a grievance. I said, okay, but I had to go get the form at the bridge. I go over there and talk to this gentleman called Gary, and I told him what had happened to me, how I'd lost my map and I had a job. Well, he said, you run your own program. We don't help people like you. I said,
thank you.
But anyways, so that's where I'm getting to the gist of the situation. And then when I told him I'd come to City Hall, he hit the top of the roof, and he said, City Hall doesn't have anything to do with this place. I said, pardon me, sir, I think the city of Dallas built this. But anyways, that's where I'm at, and that's my problem. And the system needs to be tweaked over there. It can't just be for the chronic. It has to have a system for somebody that had a job.
I got it.
We understand.
Thank you all very much. We've got Mr. Atkins, did you want to say something?
I just want to say, Mayor, you know, I don't have the fluid understand what's going on. Is there a liaison here from the bridge?
Well, yeah, we'll get you. We'll call Jay Dunn. I'm going to have him follow up.
I'm going to have to get back in there because my housing situation.
Miss Durham is here, so if you'll walk right over here, we do have a liaison, and we'll get that information. Okay. I know for a fact, by the way, that if you come in after 11 and you're working, they're supposed to let you in. I know that's the procedure. So.
And the guards said the same thing. He said, you ought to be upstairs, but blah, blah, blah.
Thank you. We'll have Ms. Durham look into it.
Thank you for listening to what I had to
say. Thank you, Mr. Turner.
Thank you all very much. Thank you.
Your next speaker is Arnese Cobb. The speakers following will be William Hopkins, Zumba Lunch, Marvin Crenshaw, LaCoya London, Wayne Wooten, and Robert Ciccarelli. If those individuals whose names were called, if you would please stop stepping down close to the podium, it will help everything process smoothly. Ma'am, please state your name and address for the record.
Yes, good afternoon. My name is Arnese Cobb, and I live at 1020 Scotland in DeSoto. I'm here to ask that an investigation be done at the Bridge Homeless Shelter in the Safety Department. On February the 21st of this year, one of the homeless guests walked away from 4 safety officers that I had called to the area to help me and assaulted me, and after this fact, walked back over to the 4 safety officers and continued the situation that I had called for help with. Since I received no help from the 4 safety officers there at the bridge, I called 911 and asked for the Dallas Police Department to be sent out. This request for help from the Dallas Police Department caused my termination from employment from the bridge on February the 27th. For your consideration, sir, I have included a write-up on February the 21st of the situation that happened at the bridge. Also, for your consideration, the police report that I had when they came out, and the doctor's information that I received when I had to go to the doctor for the injury to my jaw. Also, the termination notice and the information that you have, I have outlined in yellow some of the information on there that definitely did not happen. Because of time at the end of the termination notice, I'd like to read this particular part to you, please. It says, in our employee handbook, page 51,
serious misconduct in the event of any serious misconduct as determined by Bridge Step, an employee may be terminated immediately. It seems like I was guilty of being at my work assignment and having someone come over and try to break my jaw. Also, in the information that I have included, I've included over 54 notes, handwritten notes of harassment that I received from my supervisor. I have gone through protocol. I've given this information to HR. We have since changed and have a new HR person. When I went over to the bridge to receive my last paycheck, I did give this new HR person also a copy of all of this information with the harassment that I have received from my supervisor. Also, sir, Mayor Rollins, in your information there, we were asked to do a self-evaluation of our job at the bridge. I've included that. And not only did I work at the bridge for almost 3 years, I did volunteer work there and give out underwear to the homeless. That was through my church. I know that all of you have a busy schedule, but now I am included in the line of being unemployed. I am at an age where when I walk in, of course, they see this gray hair and don't figure that maybe I can do a good job. The first thing they tell me is, you wouldn't want to work here. Oh, well, you're overqualified. We'll call you. I never get that call. So if you would please consider that the Bridge Homeless Center or the homeless shelter, especially in the safety department, needs some type of, I guess, overhaul. I thank you so much for your consideration.
Thank you. Thank you. Did you, I see you requested an exit interview with Jay Dunn. Did you get it?
No, sir. No one has talked with me. Also, in...
We can arrange that. I mean, at least you should have an exit interview, so we'll do that. Okay.
And in the highlighted part, sir, in the termination notice here, is that my supervisor said that he asked me repeatedly what was wrong when I was assaulted. He did not do that.
All right, no. We'll just make sure you get that with that. Ms. Caraway.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor, and thank you, ma'am, for coming.
Yes,
what I would ask for the bridge, Jerry, or whomever, in my office at some point, if you all would set up, I'd just like to talk with the folks from the bridge so I can decipher a lot of the different concerns that have been brought to us. If I could just get a little briefing with Jay Dunn and whomever needs to be there, but I want it in my office. And then, ma'am, I'm going to also address some of these concerns as well.
Yes.
But just overall briefing as related to the bridge, if that can take place, that's to the staff, whoever would set that up for me.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Ms. Caraway. Ms. Hasso. Mr. Atkins.
Thank you, Mayor. Mayor, I don't know when the last time the full council had a briefing about the bridge, Mayor. You know, I have many memos from the bridge about budget items, you know, things of which way you should enter the bridge, where we should exit the bridge. We got a farmer's market said that, you know, we got a problem with the farmer's market with the bridge. I think it might be the time that we come back, get a full briefing, and try to outline what we can start all back over or revamp this, because right now I believe we're getting too many questions that we cannot answer when people come to speak to us intelligent at the podium.
They would love to come in, and we'll put it on a briefing day. They definitely would like to. I think it's important to note that the crime is downtown 38% since we put the bridge in there. And they'll go, they got so many details, you won't believe, Ms. Davis, but we'll do that.
Thank you, Mayor. We have had a briefing concerning the bridge in the Housing Committee, and we had it about a month ago.
I thought you did, Mayor.
Our briefing. It just asks any other committee, we don't make all the different committees. So the question has to be, do we want to bring them back again to the Housing Committee and just making sure that everyone is there if they have any concerns or any concerns that they want to address. When the bridge brief us, it's normally to talk about a lot of the social service activities that's going on at the bridge, and we really don't get into the crime of the bridge. Now, we have not been briefed on the crime issues, perhaps, or the police stacks, or the reports, and all of that stuff. We have not talked about that inside the housing committee. So, once again, these are different concerns that come to us during the full council briefing, and which can happen. We don't get these same type of concerns at a housing committee meeting. So, I mean, there's something we just have to, you know, continue.
I think it's probably a good idea to bring it in front of the whole council, and
right.
We need to probably ask the questions so we can structure the presentation the right way. Since you've gotten the presentation, I'll ask you to kind of tee that up with them. Let's get any questions to Ms.
Okay.
Davis that we want answered, and then we'll bring it back to the council.
Okay. And I will ask Ryan to work with me on that, because we're looking at two things. We're looking at the crime, and are we just looking at crime only, or are we talking about housing issues?
Well, the process, we need to talk about some housing issues, but I think a lot of the questions that are asked here are process and discipline around the bridge.
Okay.
What are the rules, and how do we treat issues of drugs, other things like that? So, Mr. Cadane?
I was going to say just what you said. We need a full council briefing.
Yep.
On that. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Grayson.
Thank you, Mayor. We had some discussion about this at Public Safety when Chief Brown came and talked to us about crime stats this last Monday, and he made an interesting distinction between Part 1 and Part 2 crimes and the perception around the bridge that crime is rampant, and he said it's more the Part 2 crimes that don't get as reported in the same way. So could that be part of our briefing so that Chief Brown could be there and talk to the full council about how the police look at the way the crimes are reported around the bridge? Thank you.
And Sandy's absolutely right, because Part 2 crime is what we're hearing here today, are the Part 2 crimes that the police really don't talk to us about. So that would be a good idea.
Ms. Rosado?
Also, Sandy, I'm glad that you mentioned that, because it did. We did discuss it at Public Safety. Also, what came out was the different meetings that Chief Genovese and Central has had with either the stakeholder community as well. So I think that should also be part of it, because I just don't want to hear just one side. I think we should hear all sides of how they've been working together.
Thank you. Mr. Allen.
Along that same lines, Mayor, as you tee that up, more of a holistic approach when it comes to the bridge and the homeless itself, as we have the opportunities to go to other large cities. At least in my experience is I see much more of the homeless spread out through the cities. Where I come to Dallas, I do not see that. So blend the whole homeless situation, the bridge, all of that together.
I think it's good. We need to make sure we are tight in what we're asking for, so the briefing is substantive and deals with those things. So I'll work with Brian too, Ms. Davis, to get those things. Thank you. Next.
Your next speaker is William Hopkins. Mr. Hopkins will be followed by Ozoma Lunt, Marvin Crenshaw, LaCoya London, Gwen Wooten, and Robert Ciccarelli.
I'm yours now.
Okay. You were talking about the bridge, Mayor Rollins, but I wanna compare the bridge with the animal shelter. Okay, you spend $14, maybe $15 million for the animal shelter. You spend maybe $4 million or $6 million probably for the people. So when the animal shelter, one year it wasn't flowing right. The water wouldn't flow right, so the animals had to stand in their own feces in the urine, and they showed it on the news. This city council was outraged. It was, how could this happen? And so they got right on it and they fixed it. They fixed the flowing. They went in there, fixed the flowing, and for the animals. At the same time, the people at the bridge would tell them they didn't have no hot water, but y'all still having briefings. So they was having briefings. It's years ago. Y'all still having the briefings. Okay, and then a cat got stuck in the wall at the animal shelter. Oh, Lord, how mercy. If that cat, listen to what I'm finna say, Mayor Wallen. the cat got was going to get euthanized that was in the wall. But if that cat was a white lady's cat, that black guy would have went to prison, went to jail. He went to court and tried to indict him over the cat being stuck in the wall. He couldn't figure out how to get the cat out the wall, and everybody here was outraged about the cat died in the wall. The cat died, and we want him to go to jail. And he went to court, and they almost got him. I wish that was a white lady's cat, and I would have had something to say. I would have had a real speech to say here today. But by the cat being euthanized, they didn't send the black guy to jail. So he went to jail about the cat in the wall. Trayvon Martin got murdered, and they still don't know down there in Florida what to do. But the cat got stuck in the wall, and the guy went to jail, almost went to prison. If Trayvon Martin was here in Dallas, it would have never got out, Mel Rollins. Nobody would have heard about it. The Ku Klux Klan media would have kept it quiet. The Dallas Morning News would have kept it quiet. These House Negroes, John Wiley Price, and the Dallas City Council, the school board, wouldn't have said nothing about Trayvon Martin. Boy called him a coon, and he killed him. But they trying to say he's Hispanic. But the Hispanics don't use the word coon, Merle Rollins. That's white. That's his white side. I want the media, if the media catch on to this, I want the media to know that the Hispanics don't call us coons. The white people call us coons, and that was the white side of that guy that murdered Trayvon Martin. Thank you.
Your next speaker is Ozumba Lunk.
I would like to have a minute. I've always asked because I've never had nothing. Just, y'all are starting the time. I'm starting here. But anyway, this is my Eastfield College police degree, Eastfield Academy. This is North Central Texas business certification. This is me, Al Sharp, and Jesse Jackson, SCLC president. This here is my certification for my process server. I am a driver's license, security license, state ID, social security card. I have my renewable power investigator license, state of Texas, my own private security company. I'm also an investigator technical state of Texas. I came down Monday, as you know, the security probably told you all, and I couldn't get my driver's license. It says on that paper showing you there that you may be asked for your ID. It says may. State needs to stress that. It's just information purpose only. You may. Well, why do I have to be asked? I'm not an alien. When the law first come out, I thought there were people that didn't have any ID, no work record, or nothing like that. But me, 63 years in Dallas. And it says at the bottom of that deal I gave you, show it to him, it says you may be asked for your ID. Why am I asked for my ID? It says to get driver's license now. You, if it's not on the department information file. Man, I had driver's license when I was 16 or 17 years old. She hit the computer gate. So I read down there, all the security was down there. They come out of money. Hey, I can't get my driver's license. Can anybody help me? Can anybody go down there now? Tell them I'm not an alien. Of course, you don't know if I'm a terrorist or not. But I'm not an alien, but I'm not a terrorist. But I'm saying, can you go down here and give a driver's license right now? I couldn't run for Congress if I was an alien, or if I was an American citizen. I own three houses, we got houses all over Dallas, everything, pay tax and everything. You know, can anybody help me get my driver's license today? So they want my birth certificate. I don't have a birth certificate. My deal was changed on my lawyer's decree for my divorce. But I do have my old birth certificate. I tried to tell the lady. She wasn't listening. Security come down. I'm going to zoom on the other guy. He was cool. But I'm just saying, hey, I told her I don't have a birth certificate in my name now. I have an Adam Woods, my other name. But I do have a divorce decree. So can anybody help me go get my license today? I appreciate it, man, if you could. because you know I'm not alien. You know I ran for office. I'm a proud investigator, state. Man, I got all kind of stuff, man, at the state on record right now. Pictures and ID. If they check, they'll find all it. This is my company, TJ Murray Security Force. You know, I'm proud investigator company. I mean, man, I'm not. And it says May. It says May on it. It needs to correct that. It should say everybody will be have to show it. And that's wrong. That's wrong. Read it. May have to show ID. That's terrible, man. But I want to get on Dart next time for assaulting me. Dart assaulting me. I'll be back with you, Dart.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Caraway.
Oh, yes. Oh, man. Thank you.
I got a whole lot of them. All those states.
Thank you. And I'm an alien. Thank you very much.
Let me. Like, could you help me, Merrill? Appreciate it.
Hold on.
Yes, sir. I'd like to give him a ground line before I leave today, if you could help me.
Thank you. Mr. Caraway, please.
Mr. Lunt, let me first tell you thank you for coming down. And it goes to show, Mayor, when I said we need to have that town hall meeting with everybody. The people down there do not work for the city.
Sure.
I'm talking to them. Folks there do not work for the city. This concern goes straight to Senator Royce West, to the state. No, wait a minute. That's who your long lines are. That's who works down there. They have a place in the facility of the city for accommodation.
You know me, I called all the way to the president.
I
called from the bottom. I called all of Eddie Burns. I called the president office. I called.
Got it.
I mean, I called the whole United States.
Thank
everybody
you.
Everybody but the Supreme Court.
Thank you.
Yeah, go to Ron West.
Thank you. Okay, next speaker.
Next speaker is Marvin Crenshaw. LaCoya London will follow.
Marvin Crenshaw, 5134 Malcolm X Boulevard. But I'd like to say to the councilperson from a councilman from District 4, during the time of LCSA Higgins, we had town hall meetings every Tuesday night. Every Tuesday night. And that's how we learned the process of how City Hall works. We would have the city manager there, would have different people who were different state representatives or whatever. As Mr. Lipscomb used to always tell us, we knew everybody from the person who was cutting the yard, cutting the grass, all the way up to the council person. We learned that through that process every Tuesday night. But I just want to basically just talk about the street name process, in which we're moving forward on that. Many people ask me why I chose to use the property owners instead of the council. Because of the fact, I think the way that you have to have three council persons, I think that's a violation of 14-1. But I have contacted property owners on Pennsylvania, and Mr. Dennis Topless, who owns property on Pennsylvania, has agreed to be the applicant. I also talked to Ms. Shirley Levin. Ms. Levin was the attorney for Mr. Jackson and Ms. Higgins, and stayed with us all the way. When we filed, when Mr. Jackson and Ms. Higgins filed a lawsuit in 1984 regarding the county commissioner's race, and they also have agreed to be involved. And I talked to people all across this city who know Ms. Higgins and who know the history, who have become involved. It's not just the African American community; it's people all across the city, because that's the impact that Ms. Higgins and Mr. Jackson and Ms. Lipson, all those people had on the city of Dallas at that time. Mm-hmm. Now, I tell people all the time, and I'm just not concerned with just renaming the street in which I am as a priority, but also I'm interested in bringing youth in, like the young man, Mr. Daniels. When I talked to him and told him what I was trying to do, he said, well, how can I help? I said, you can come down here and speak at the council if you want to. Right on the spot, he's been signing up to come down here, taking off the work to come down here and talk. But we're here to also educate the community about the process of City Hall. That you can come down here and you can make a change here once you understand the process. And Mr. Jackson used to tell us, be nuts and bolts people. Understand how City Hall works, and then you can make some change. And that's the primary reason why we want to honor Ms. Elsie Faye Higgins, because she was an instrument on this council that decided and then did that for us every Tuesday night. Not just every other Tuesday night, every month, every Tuesday night. And all those 106 items that you had earlier this morning, 112 items you had at those town hall meetings, we would go through one by one by one And any questions I asked, they would say, go tell us where to go to go find it. And you had people come from everywhere joining in on that effort. And that's the same thing we're going to do with the 5 seconds left that in this whole effort is to bring the whole community together. The whole community together. To honor not only Ms. Higgins, but all of those who have struggled in this city to make it safe and better for all of us. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Davis.
And Marvin, I just want to make sure that as we go through this process that we also meet with Dr. Flower as well on 1600 Pennsylvania and that St. Philip School as well.
I met with Dr. Flowers, and I remember just I met with Dr. Flowers and Ms. Shirley Evans, who's the board chair.
Just recently?
No, you know, the first time I met about in January. I met with them. We had a very nice talk about, even though we differed on certain things, we did come to an agreement that that can happen. And I'm open to certain things. I mean, I've been in three difficult street names change process, and I've bumped my head and made mistakes, and I know how to go about the process if people would allow me to just go ahead and move on. Thank you very much.
Well, okay, and I'm just saying that You told me you were going to go back and set up another meeting with Dr. Flowers, so I just want to make sure that happens, that you continue to meet with Dr. Flowers, and so we move forward. Okay.
And I will meet with him, but there are 178 property owners on there. But I'm going to do that.
Oh, okay, then.
Letting them know it's open.
Thank you, Ms. Hill.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is Ms. Davis's district, and I'm going to respect what she does, but Mr. Crenshaw, as a sidebar, not from that podium, but as a sidebar, I want you to talk with me about why you have not suggested any streets other than Pennsylvania. I am very concerned about changing the name of Pennsylvania. As I said, it's Ms. Davis' district, and I'm going to follow her lead. But away from that podium, I want you to talk with me about that. Don't answer now. Don't answer from that podium. I want you to talk to me about that issue. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
I'll do that.
Thank you, Mr.
And anyone else?
Thank you.
Next speaker is LaCoya London. Gwayne Wooten and Robert Ciccarelli will follow.
Hello, I'm LaCoya London. I stay at 1716 Chattanooga Place, apartment 1228 Dallas. Okay. I want to know if y'all know about the Plessy versus Ferguson case. You know, 1896. Okay. It legitimized the Jim Crow laws. It was like the Jim Crow law way of life. Okay, people were denied the right to vote, poll taxes were charged to poor blacks, discrimination against blacks was accepted. I mean, it still seems like it's still happening now. Okay, in some cases, there were no black facilities, no public restrooms for them at all. In Florida, where Trayvon Martin was shot, even with the Plessy versus Ferguson case, the schools were still desegregated. If laws were violated by blacks, they were lynched, like Trayvon Martin. He was lynched. Okay, lynches were an intimidation tool to stop blacks from getting their freedom that they have now. Okay, it took innocent lives for no reason. If a person demanded their civil rights, they were lynched. Y'all heard of the Red Summer of 1919? Okay. I hope y'all recognize it so it won't happen again. You know, we need to recognize that the South and Texas lynched a lot of people. Now, you're locking up our kids and teenagers, as well as handcuffing 9-year-olds like last year, my daughter, Kyla London. Okay, our children are not criminals, so don't treat them like they are. There are teenagers with felony cases that are 15 years old right now in DISV. Okay. I don't know what's going on, but we have police that are crooked here in Dallas, Texas, as well as Florida. Okay. We have volunteers that are crooked, as you can see, like Mr. Zimmerman. Okay, we don't need another Red Summer to occur here in America. Closing good schools like DISD are doing that a TEA recognized should be considered ridiculous. I mean, I feel that the city of Dallas, you councilmen, and you, Mr. Mayor, y'all should step in and say something. Why are we closing good schools? Okay, Mr. Tanilla Atkins, you talked about choices. You know, when uplifts in here, you talk about Wilma Hutchins having their school. They don't have to get bused to Dallas. Why are we having Wilma Hutchins when we closing down schools in Dallas? Can you explain that to me? It's also a prison in Wilma Hutchins, so why is it a
why they won't just go to school in Dallas. They need to be bused to us. We shouldn't be busing our kids to Wilma Hutchins. I mean, I'm just saying, you said something about choices, Mr. Atkins. You did. Some weeks ago. Okay, going back to my 9-year-old who was handcuffed last year by the Dallas Police Department. Two white Caucasian guys handcuffed him. Okay. Florida is considered to be the cheating state. You know, you remember when Bush was elected? You know, he got in through Florida where his brother, Jeb Bush, worked. Okay, the city of Dallas really need to step up and save our schools. That's all we want. Kids shouldn't be killed for wearing hoods. I mean, but we got kids right now, like I said, we got kids in high school with monitors on their feet right now. They're 15, can't vote. They got felony cases right now. How are y'all going to help our kids? You got to show me how you're going to help our kids. You're taking schools out of neighborhoods. Mr. Atkins, you said Wilma Hutchins should have a school in their neighborhood. We should have one, too. So why is Arlington Park being closed?
Thank you.
I'm just saying.
Your next speaker is Gwen Wooten. Not present. Your next speaker is Robert Ceccarelli.
Robert Ceccarelli, before I get started, I just want to make clear that the next meeting, April 13th at the library, you'll get a real shot of what the bridge is all about. And Charles Gully, MBHA, there'll be another meeting right before that. And please come, and you'll see what the bridge is, how the people are really being treated. I gave several people, Ms. Davis, Caraway, Griggs, Padane, Hill, and the mayor, about Lincoln High School. On February 23rd, Ms. Swan gave a presentation, and I'm going to read the first paragraph. It says, Lincoln High School spoke in front of the Board of Trustees, unanimously passed a 56-page restructuring plan that extends student school day by 45 minutes for mandatory tutorials, creates academies of engineering, culinary arts, and entrepreneurship. Second page, third column, where it's got circled. Lincoln cannot afford to wait on Washington, D.C. or Austin. Beginning next year, Lincoln School Day will run from 8:30 a.m. to 4:15 p.m. to allow time for 75 minutes of content mastery, special class time, and 25 minutes of reinforcement and tutoring for each period. This idea makes perfect sense to Robert Ceccarelli. Teachers can only be held responsible for what happens in the classroom, the community member noted, adding that when students track home to complete homework and assignments, factors beyond their control may prevent them from receiving the help and support they need. Mr. Mayor, I am directly involved with that part of the class time during the day is mandatory tutoring of 25 minutes. Third page, please, everybody. We've got the email I sent to Bernadette Nuttall is dated February 7th. Ms. Swan presents this presentation on February 23rd. I'm going to read the first two paragraphs. Please follow me. Please let me introduce myself. This is to Bernadette Nuttall. My name is Robert Ceccarelli. I met you in September of 2011 at Lincoln High School. The meeting was about how Lincoln would improve the academic level of performance from unacceptable to acceptable. I wish I could have another minute, please. I brought the proposition that Lincoln should be a year-round school and have a slight adjustment to the academic day. I mentioned each instruction period would be 1 hour, there would be a five-minute break, and the second period would be a continuous from the first period. Your primary teacher would be the student's tutor and help your child with the homework. The teaching method would be an immediate learning enforcement from the previous class period. Second paragraph. Why I brought this to your awareness is that if you remember, I had a few parents clap and approve this suggestion when I was speaking to Ms. Swan. The goal is to do much of the homework in school under the guidance of the student's primary teacher of that particular subject. What's going on right now is that I hope, Mr. Mayor, that you do to all the middle schools and high schools, because, like I said in the quotes, they're not going to do the work at home, and we got the CISD grading scandal right now. I just wish I could have one more minute, please, because this is very important.
Just finish up your
thought
here.
I've done a lot of work on this, and I really hope, sir, you emphasize this to everybody to do this for the middle schools and high schools, because the teachers that got involved in this scandal, which I've been reading just as big as the one in Atlanta, is that they're scared to lose their teaching jobs, And if this is implemented, would the teachers have control of the classes for tutoring? They would be more comfortable with what they have to do because, let's face it, a lot of students don't do the work at home. And Ms. Swan emphasized on Saturday, I brought this to your attention before, only 20 students showed up for tutoring, and she ran away with it. She loved it, and I just want to let you know that I was directly involved with this, and I hope I will continue this next week. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chuckarelli.
That concludes your speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. Before I accept that motion, Ms. L., I need to recognize your partner to your left, Ms. Hasso.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you, Von Steele, for one more minute. You all got these bags at your desk today. They are a signed graffiti graffiti wipeout conference T-shirt signed by Philip Tanner of the Dallas Cowboys. He's number 34, and he spent the whole morning with us talking to these kids, and we had a lot of kids there, convincing them that they don't need to put their initials on someone else's property, that they can turn that artistic creativity into something positive. So enjoy your T-shirts. And the other little thing in there is a little heart thing that you can put some aspirin in there. If you're ever around someone who is having chest pains, have them stick an aspirin underneath their tongue, and that will, in many cases, save their lives. Or if you feel the chest pain, just stick an aspirin. But if you've got that little thing that you've got in your bag with you, you'll always have an aspirin with you. So thank you, guys.
Thank you, Ms. Hasso. Ms. Alonzo.
Thank you, Mayor. I just wanted to share something with everyone. On March 31st is Cesar Chavez's birthday. Cesar Chavez was a great leader in our communities for everyone. And also it is the day that we lost Selena Quintanilla Perez, if many of you know who she is, and that would be 17 years that we've lost her. We've lost great people, but we still remember them. Thank you, Mayor.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Ms. Medrano.
Thank you very much. In honor of Cesar Chavez, the Cesar Chavez Elementary School on Ross and Carroll will have a cleanup day, a day of service, and the sponsor organization is the Church of Incarnation. So that's Saturday morning from 9 to noon.
This Saturday morning. Thank you. Mr. Carraway?
Thank you, Mayor. I just want to announce next month, April 30th, is my birthday, and I'm going to start the party on the 25th, the 26th, 27th, 28th, 29th.
We have a second for a motion for adjournment.
And you all can all know that we're going to have a good time.
All right. So for 3:30 movies.
Meeting adjourned at 3:30.